Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Flow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Whoa. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece to the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the clash you meet. That'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational track to see successful guests promote herself massively. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you are live in the remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone out there listening, no matter where in the world you're listening from. I want to welcome you here. It's Friday night. You're live in the remix, and I see everyone getting themselves situated and all kind of moving around wherever you are in the world. It's good to see everyone in the house tonight. The chat room is open. So you are definitely free to come on in and join us over in the chat form. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone out there listening, and peace and greetings to you. So good to have you here, October the 25th. 2013, live in the remix, depending on what part of the world you're in. I want to give out the call number, 646-652-2711. That's the number to call for joining us here tonight. Joining us here live in the room tonight, we will have Jessica. Jessica Holt. She is the founder and the CEO of the Punani Poets. And the Punani Poets is going to be joining us here live to the forum tonight. So I also want to give out some galactic information. So that that you guys, if you're out there and you want to kind of get connected, thank you. You guys can do that. www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, all one word, is how you're going to get yourself over to the remix radio page. So www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, all one word, is how you get yourself locked in and get on over. The chat room is open. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, let me be the first to say welcome. So good to have you in the house. So good to have you here with us live in the remix as well. And good to have you here. We're going to give some international shots out. We're going to dance. We're going to move ourselves around. I want to remind you guys that this show, tonight's show, and all shows are available for you on demand on the remix. So you can go to iTunes and you can download the show. You can download them right here on the Remix Radio page. The shows are available for you, so enjoy. You can download them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's everybody doing? I'm looking at you guys in the chat room to see where everybody is. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Just moving some things around here, trying to get things set up so you guys can hear me pretty good. Making sure you guys can hear me okay tonight. I want to give some international shout out because I think this is the big part of where I start breaking up. So I want to give some international shout out tonight and then go from there. Everybody's doing all right? All right, so here we go. International shots out list from all over the world. We have Sudan in the house tonight. We have Colombia in the house. Japan is in the house listening live. Finland is here listening live. Ethiopia is listening here. Lagos is here live tonight. We also have Romania in the house listening live tonight. Big ups to Romania out there listening live. Uganda is in the house listening live. We also have Ghana here live. Chile is live. Mozambique is in the house listening live. Denmark is here live. We have Argentina listening live. We have Naples listening live. We also have Bangladesh here live. Brazil is in the house tonight. We also have Belgium in the house listening live. Egypt is here. Much love to our brothers and sisters out there in Egypt. Saudi Arabia is listening live. We have Spain in the house tonight listening live. Italy is here. Greece is here. Australia is here. The Bahamas is here. Trinidad is here. Tobago is here. Australia is here. We have the Philippines in the house listening live. India is listening live. Large listening audience from Germany. Did some Akashic record readings. Got some real kind of ancient records going on there in Germany. Jamaica is in the house tonight. Barbados is in the house. France is here. Nigeria is here. We have Turkey in the house. South Africa. Big family from South Africa. So good to have you guys in the house tonight. Kenya is listening live. We have Canada, of course, listening live. Big family in the UK listening as well as all of us here in the United States. Yes, yes. Don't send me hate mail. It's a couple of countries that I cannot say the names. So Sicilia or whatever that is listening live, it's a couple of other countries. Just welcome. Welcome, guys. It's so good to have everybody in the house tonight listening in on the remix. So that's always, always really, really good to have you guys in the house. So we're going to cover a couple of things. We're going to dance. We're going to kind of move around. And then by then, we should have all of the Punani poets here on the line for us. And if you're on the line, press 1. Make sure you do that so that I can find you guys on the line as we continue here live in the mix tonight. Welcome, 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 everyone. Also, I want to let you guys know, don't forget those of you who are self-invested, the Mastermind series that's going on with myself and Brother Bilal. That's going to be going on. And so Saturday night, we had some powerful stuff go on. And I just want to kind of say this and put this out for those of you that were out there. You know, Drake canceled his concert, and we were kind of getting it in there, and so all kinds of things. Drake canceled his concert. We were in the Mastermind series, and we were doing some things with Drake in the Mastermind, and they just kind of blended themselves together. So just some amazing confirmation there about the work that's going on. So me and Brother Bilal will see you and the Mastermind for Self-Invested. And by the way, let me do this. That's for everyone out there who've come self-invested. Welcome to you guys. We have so many things coming up. Brother Wayne Chandler is going to be coming up teaching the class and quite a few other people. So it's just amazing things happening. If you're interested, look at the show notes. You'll be able to see questionforblue@gmail.com to find out about becoming self-invested. Also, want to remind you, it is the weekend. So if you don't have a Kim Deck, I don't know where you've been, but you need to get yourself over www.msblueblast.com/cards and pick that up, as well as the Know Your Magic audio workbook. So blessings and thank you to all of you guys out there. I am really, really excited about the show tonight. I also want you guys to go over to the Remix Radio page on Facebook because we have posted some questions there about tonight's show. We're going to be talking about that subject that we all love to talk about, which is really about sexuality. It really is about healing, and it's also about sexual communication, how you express that. And I don't know too many people on the planet that does it better than the Punani poet. I know a lot of you guys are excited about the show, and some of you, this will be your first time introduction. Either way, it's going to be great. I do want to tell you guys that this may be one of those nights that you might want to put the babies away. You might want to put the cat out. And the dog, too. You might want to put the cat and the dog out. You want to send the children to bed or in the other room. It is definitely grown folks tonight. And hang out with us. We're going to be doing a grown folks show tonight. And for those of you who may be a little sensitive to some grown folks things. So we're going to be handling grown folks business here and doing it remix style as we get ready to welcome our guests in the forum tonight. So peace and greetings to all of you guys out there. 646-652-2711 is the number to call for the remix. So we're going to dance. Well, we're actually not going to dance tonight, but we are going to listen to some music. I don't think you guys would be dancing off of this, but we'll be listening to some music.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue, and remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
So I'm kind of deciding on what I'm going to play, but I know what I'm going to play. And, because tonight we are going to be talking about language. And so that is important, how we express ourselves. And it's so many different ways that we do express ourselves. And so tonight, yeah, we're gonna be chewing on a little bit of lyrics as we're waiting on our guests here to arrive, because I don't believe they're here yet. We're going to be talking about language. So let's see if I can find that for you guys here on the board. Let's see what it's called. Give me just a second. Let's see. Let me see. All right. One moment, you guys. Welcome to the remix. So glad to have you guys here. All right. So we're going to be listening to this again. We're going to set the tone now. This is an adult show tonight. And for those of you who may be a little sensitive, but we're going to be talking about that sexual communication, just communication. The Punani poets coming through. I'm excited. I can't wait to hear this story for you guys to understand it. And just kind of vibe with that. Here we go.
Yeah. Look. I don't know why they've been lying, but your shit is not that inspiring. Bank account statement just look like I'm ready for early retirement. Fuck any nigga that's talking that shit just to get a reaction. Fuck going platinum, I looked at my wrist and it's already platinum. I am the kid with the motor mouth, I am the one you should worry about. I don't know who you're referring to. Who is this nigga you heard about? Someone just talking that bullshit, man. Someone just gave you the runaround. Niggas down playing the money, but that's what you doing, the money down. I don't waste time putting money down. I just go straight to who got it and buy it in cash. Pussy so good that you gotta come see me on tour and you gotta fly in first class. This has been years in the making, it's off of the city. They know I come right every summer. Cash money records forever. I'm always big timing, bitch. I came up right under stunner, you know it. Jealousy in the air tonight, I could tell. I will never understand that, but oh well. Being ready, it's real, I don't know about you. She just wanna smoke and fuck, I said, girl, that's all that we do. Okay, now you're talking my language, now you're talking my language. Now you're talking my language, now you're talking my language. Being ready, it's real, I don't know about you. She just wanna smoke and fuck, I said, girl, that's all that we do. I'm about to roll one and light it and fuck it, man, no one's invited. I gotta kill off the weak shit that's got all you niggas excited. I can't even listen, you wildin', I'd much rather sit here in silence. I send all my money to banks in the islands and eat with Italians, I do. People are funny, you don't even know about the shit that I've been through. I just want some head in a comfortable bed, it could all be so simple. Talking that shit with your back to me, just know it always get back to me. Come get your girl, she been here for 3 days and she way too attached to me. Hate when they get too attached to me. I gotta get on the bus and get back on the road. Get what I can out the country and then I just get on the jet and go back to the cold. Can't even drive with the top off, been working so hard on the album, I miss the whole summer. I just might bring in some girls from Miami to heat up the city and that's where the sun is, you know it. Jealousy in the air tonight, I could tell. I will never understand that, but oh well. Being ready, it's real, I don't know about you. She just wanna smoke and fuck, I said, girl, that's all that we do. Okay, now you're talking my language, now you're talking my language. Now you're talking my language, now you're talking my language. Being ready, it's real, I don't know about you. She just wanna smoke and fuck, I said, girl, that's all that we do.
Headline, big time, sunshine, tote nine, bust mine, flat line, hard grind, high life, stay fly, it's jet time, stunt nigga, every time you see a nigga, stunt nigga, every time you see a nigga, stunt nigga, swag on head to feet nigga, stunt nigga.
Just might bring in some girls from Miami to heat up the city, and that's where the sun of
your... All right, you guys, are you there? We're going to listen to one more song as we get ready to get ourselves situated here and get ready for our guest tonight. And yeah, we're going to listen to that.
Monogamy or whatever you call it, I'm starting to think ain't for everybody. Most of us is rushing into it anyway, you know what I'm saying? You ain't rushing for love and I ain't up here to judge, so let's neglect the what ifs and make it do what it does. Let's get it.
Is it baby?
Girls ain't no fun, and the hood girls want a smart nigga. College girls all want a thug, so it seems that we fiend what we don't need. Gotta think for a queen who don't wanna leave. I ain't about to judge you, don't judge me. You ain't gotta really sing about your rashy, cause I heard you.
In the literal sense, I mean that. Rough sex saying I love ya, but the kiss of me saying you mean that. I know, I just be calling a mean ass. Oh, the irony, got the bomb in D, but the problem is probably a D pass. Still I'm feeling this and I need bad. Thinking if I get it, I get it, I need this. I don't need a motion to open your DC. I can see the ocean by going between legs. Bag, no, bed, blow, dope, go, forward, couch, now, slow, motion. Around, put it down, Lord knows she was going for the moon.
Easy,
hold up.
Baby, I never made love, no, I never did. Would assume no how the fuck I'd be.
Her feelings, she break hearts, she stay quiet, she play smart, she take pride, I'm going out, I'm getting hollered at, I'm saying nah, she's no saint, but she don't post, she don't wear makeup by the bolo, ride through Lakeshore with the nose up, she don't really date much, but it slows up, she got haters, but we all do, heard you when it's time cold, shawty fought through, baby look at they approach, how they caught you, all of mind games, never mind, cause they all low. In the physical sense, I mean that. I ain't tryna kiss up, suck up, be gas. I ain't like them, you sucking your teeth fat. Nope. Play big, trust me, I humble your mean ass. Look, shawty is actually in prevent. Cause the one in front of it's working with deep breath. Yep, bed, floor, couch, more, shower, Lord, perm, done. Love, nah, caught in the morning, cell number wasn't on, god damn.
Is it baby? I never made love, no, I never did. Would assume no how to fuck, I'd be a bad girl. I'll do it to you. I keep promise that I'd be good to you. Cause I had to lose. I won't admit, no, not having it. But at least I can admit that I'd be bad, no, to you. Yeah, I'd be good in bed, but I'll be bad to you.
All right, everyone, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and it's Friday night, and yeah, we're about to get ready to get started and get into the share.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's The Remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in The Remix.
Yes, so I want to remind you guys, make sure you get yourself over to the Remix Radio page. We got some real, you know, sexual communication going on. That's the stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight, the Punani Poets. And if you guys don't know who we are, they really sort of pioneered this whole thing, erotic entertainment. So we have founder herself, Jessica Holter. She's going to be coming on talking with us, as well as some of the Punani Poets. And so we're going to welcome her first time guest here in the Remix. We definitely want to give a warm welcome as we get ready to get into the share. So peace and greetings to you, Jessica. Welcome to the Remix.
Hi, how are you?
Talking about the Punani Poets, verbal penetration is what we're going to be getting here on this Friday night. And I want you to start out, Jessica. I kind of talked to you a little bit. I reached out to you and I was so excited because poetry was sort of something very close to my heart. It still is. And I remember I used to hang out with a group of poets. In fact, a lot of them listened to the show as well, too. And that was the first time that I was introduced to the Punani Poets sort of erotic entertainment experience, because it was an experience. And here we are years later, and so it's wonderful to be able to have you come on platform and just share with people all over the world your work, your mission, because it is just more than poetry. Though poetry has played a very significant role in our society, talk to us first about telling us a little bit of who you are, and then why the Punani Poets?
Well, let's see. I'm a mom, a regular lady, you know. I have a son and a daughter, and I'm a writer, and I do some visual art when I have time, and I've dedicated the last 19 years to the promotion of safer sex and AIDS awareness through the Punani Poets. I started the Punani Poets in 1995, actually, when Eazy-E was hospitalized.
Yes.
And I created the project based on the things I had learned from my experience as a hip-hop entertainment journalist, just what the sexual behaviors were actually like for our generation at the time. And I wanted to do a book that was going to be very in-your-face, like hip-hop was, but to...
Yeah.
Turn black female sexuality into something that was more tasteful than it was being delivered through the hip-hop media, specifically, ironically, N.W.A. was so misogynistic. And
yeah.
To find that Eazy-E contracted the very disease that I could see was coming to really start taking the lives of heterosexual black women was just... It was like a calling. It just opened it up, the opportunity for me to just speak out on it. And it took some time, you know, for people, especially black folks, to come around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they thought, oh, how are you going to – the poetry community was really disgusted at first. They were, yeah, they were just like, oh, no, you can't do that. It's like it was blasphemous almost to, you know, turn poetry into something sexual, which was, for me, very strange, you know, because I feel like our sexuality is very much a big part of who we are as humans.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, we had an issue we needed to deal with, and what better way to do it than to titillate and stimulate and educate at the same time. So that is what we do. So in addition to publishing books, we also do live entertainment theater, you know?
Yeah.
We do special events, and we publish music, and have been doing it for a really long time.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what sort of led you? I know you talked about Eazy-E, but prior to that, what was your sort of sexual experiences like personally?
You know, it was painful and complicated, and much like a lot of women, you know, I talk about this in the show all the time, we don't take the opportunity to talk to our daughters about sex. So when you're faced with it the first time, it's usually the first time that you're faced with it. We don't take the time to talk to our nieces, our nephews about the proper way to approach sex or to carry yourself in a room, where to sit, how not to get on somebody's lap. I mean, just basic stuff they don't
right.
even talk about anymore. You just leave it to them to figure out, and you wonder why you have a 14-year-old who has a baby on the way. You know,
yeah.
So for me, I was molested when I was 11, and then I was raped when I was 15, and I didn't even know how to talk about it or how to go to my foster mother and be like, you know, this happened. I felt like, you know, she was going to say it was my fault. And it was just a very, very trying situation for me coming into my sexuality. And, you know, I'm from East Oakland. I'm very, very light in complexion. It was real hard for girls that looked like me. Because, I don't know, for some reason people just thought we were stupid or something. We were like the blondes of the ghetto or something. So people they really tended to take advantage. And I was unarmed. I was very unarmed. Fortunately, I did grow up in a church. I was called to preach early on when I was 12. I had a lot of Jesus in me. So it helped me to be able to say no and to learn what my boundaries were and to try to put them out there when I could. But I just felt like I still, even after doing journalism and talking about date rape and everything from my school paper, I never really came into a full understanding of my sexuality until the Punani Project had been underway for a few years. By then, I was already a mother, you know.
Right.
And it was talking to other women and realizing that we all had so much in common and that I needed to create this catalyst for sexual communication so that we could create some type of global conversation about it.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, it's really been very fulfilling, not just for me, but for a lot of the fans who tell me, you know, I'm on board. Like, I'm on board. They share their stories with me. They give me fodder for my writing, my creativity, for material that we put in the show. Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I'm so blessed.
Yes, yes. And that's beautiful. You know, you said something that's key, because when it comes to sexuality and spirituality, those two are very, very strongly connected. And so, you know, we're kind of wired for that. So really there's parts inside of the woman's womb, inside of our uterus, that is directly connected to our pineal gland, that really just opens us up to so much more energy. And I know you said that, you know, you were really, really into your spirituality. Church was really a big thing for you. How did that role play for you? Because you said it wasn't until you actually got a chance to get with other sisters and other women and sort of sharing stories that your true healing came about. Was it difficult to find that place
For people? For people who know the Bible and know church and know just what organizations are like, they're very male-dominated.
Yes.
Even the Bible is very well-dominated. Only the women who are considered virtuous in the Bible are worthy, you know. Jezebels are thrown to the dogs, literally, in the Bible. So I knew that, I knew that I was going to be walking on eggshells and doing this, but I knew that there were so many more people who were living that real life, you know, that would catch on. And like I said, even though it did take a while, I was able to really put that message out there, and people were able to share, you know, what was real to them. And the more they reached out to me, the more valid I knew my program was.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, growing up in the church, you know, it's the best thing that could have happened to me. I still hold on to it very much in my work. Even in this book that Zane published, the Verbal Penetration book, there are pieces in there that are very spiritual. I believe that our spirituality and our sexuality are very connected. The fact that we want to sex is ridiculous.
Yes.
This is your temple. Your body is your temple. This is where you praise the God in you. And you do that in your actions and in your everyday activities, you know. You can't just give your body up to any old body to come and piss in.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing on that. And I know that's a big part of your story and your healing, just to bring that awareness and for so many people, because so many places things happen and can happen anywhere. They can happen inside a church, building, like you said, absolutely anywhere and from anybody. And so it is important to be grounded and be able to have that message. So I'm glad that you're able to speak openly about that as a part of your own healing, and then for others who may need that healing as well, too.
You know what's also really poignant, you know, and something that I really want to say, it only just came to me right now, but you know, when you think about it, the church and the home are places where a lot of, you know, devils will find their way into, thinking that they can get away with it because you're under the guise of protection, you know. So they feel like, oh, you know, this is a place where I can go and I won't be suspected. You know, who would expect a deacon at the church would be, or a priest for that matter? You think you can send your kids to the church and they're going to be perfectly safe.
Mm-hmm.
So you send them unarmed without the information that they need.
Yeah. That's what happened to you?
Well, I was molested by my foster father. So, you know, he was in the home and in the church. He was chairman of the deacon board. So I didn't feel like I could tell anybody who would believe me. I mean, who would believe a man of virtue would, you know? And that's how a lot of them get away with it. That's how a lot of the boyfriends get away with it, you know. There, I have countless stories from women saying that they were molested by their mother's boyfriend.
Yes.
You know, who would suspect this is somebody I've dedicated my life to, and why would he molest my child? You know, so in essence, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you're abusing this position of authority that you've been given, and the kids are left, you know, without arms.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that. So then you go on and do this amazing thing, the Punani Poets. Tell us what Punani is for those who may not have figured it out.
Okay. So I am half Jamaican. My father's Jamaican. My mother's Irish. When I got to college, I met this guy who was from Jamaica. I don't know my father, so I was very unfamiliar with the culture besides the music, whatever. And when I got to college, I met this guy who was from Jamaica, and the word that he used for vagina was Punani. And I thought, oh, what a beautiful word. That is an amazing word, so much better than all the other words that are out there. You know, vagina sounds like a disease almost. And I mean, it sounds so like, what? I caught vagina, just, right? But Punani sounds like a flower. And as I did my research, as I was looking for a title for my first book, Punani, the Hip Hop Song, I found that in Hawaii, the word Punani actually means beautiful flower. And the vagina looks very much like a flower. I thought, oh, wow. And so that's how I started constructing my artwork, you know, for what was going to be the logo representation for the Punani Poets. It looks like a flower.
Right.
And in Jamaica, though, the word is an Afro-Caribbean euphemism for female genitalia. It actually means that. It means exactly, you know.
You can say the word. Yes.
Yeah, it means that. Now, of course, when I did HBO, I just said pussy. Because,
right. Well, think of yourself as being on HBO. You can see it. You can see it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is the name that you sort of kind of gravitated to, just kind of brought culture. Nice, like you said, it's a whole new different vibe when you say Punani. You know, it just...
It's like a poem all by itself. It just rings.
It really is. And so how did it birth from you being a poet to having all these other poets and having this big production and everything go on to it? Did you just think you were going to go and just start doing poetry? How did that process come about?
Nope. Actually, I was not a poet. And I still do not really consider myself a poet. I write a lot of free verse. I'm not real disciplined, you know, as far as form. When it comes to poetry, I can do a little bit, you know, haiku and things like that. But I'm really, I started doing, I could not dance, I could not sing growing up, but I'm from East Oakland, a very musical, artistic place in the Bay Area. And so I wanted to be able to, you know, keep up in terms of being able to participate in entertainment activities and everything. So I started out writing plays for my school and for my church. And then I started doing public speaking, you know, oratory.
Yeah.
So I was speaking competitively from, I guess, third grade on, winning trophies and everything for doing these Martin Luther King oratory exhibitions they would have. And that's pretty much how I started. And then, you know, being at the church and everything, I had a very, very powerful pastor in the form of Reverend Newton Carey Jr., and he was an amazing speaker, and all I could think is I want to be just like him. He is so powerful, the way he would keep you in suspense, waiting on the next phrase to roll off his tongue was just beautiful, and he kind of started taking me under his wing, and on second Sundays I would do the sermon for Youth Day, and eventually by junior high I started the Toastmasters program they had there at Elmhurst Junior High, and it was good for me. You know, I was able to participate, you know, and be involved. A lot of times, you know, with foster children, we've experienced so much abandonment that sometimes we're real shut off from the world. We end up, you know, dealing with addiction, things like that, to try to fit in. But I was able to use the art of public speaking to make me fit in and to make people like me, and it felt really great. And spun off of that and, you know, started writing for my school paper. I edited the yearbook and continued to do the same things in high school. And then later at Howard, I joined the Martin Luther King Forensic Society. So my background really is in public speaking and in journalism.
Beautiful.
So when I started the Punani Project, it was the book was to be an anthology. So it was going to be the literary version of what music was at the time. And I don't know if you remember back then, but they used to release a lot of, today they call them mixtapes, but back then they were a compilation album.
Yes, yes.
So my book was going to be like a compilation album. And it had sexy pictures in it and poems. So it was like a literary version of what a rap album of the time would be like. At least that was my idea. So since I was doing journalism, I knew a lot of people, A-plus from Hieroglyphics, and I was writing for 4080 and Hypno and Hum magazines. And so I knew a lot of people who really helped me get the project off and running very quickly. I was able to get coverage and rap pages and The Source and some other magazines early on and ask for submissions from people. So the first book only had three of my pieces in it, and I only wrote those pieces because I wanted them to trust me. I didn't want to be like, I need you to write not only about sex but about AIDS, and nobody wanted to align themselves with AIDS at that time.
Yeah,
so I wrote three pieces. One was The Head Doctor, which was on HBO. One was Punani Dream, which was also on HBO, and one was Daddy Sam, which I did film for them, but they didn't want to use it. It was kind of political.
Mm-hmm.
And those were my three contributions, and all the other pieces in the book actually came from other people who were just in support of the idea of doing this book. I couldn't even get funding from any of the nonprofits at the time because they were all like, we don't have money for women and AIDS. Women don't have AIDS. I'm like, but they're going to. You know, so I they're going to trust me. But I ended up just charging it the publication on my husband's credit card. And back then you couldn't just go online and upload a book, you know. You had to actually lay it out, you had to photograph it. It was offset printing. It was a lot of work, and it was very expensive to put that first book out. And somebody sent a copy of the book to HBO's Real Sex, and that's how I got it on television. So really it didn't take long, I guess. From the launch of the project, which was 1995, between that time and 1998, I had a book and I had a CD to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And to promote the book, once I had it, I was like, okay, now I have this book. How do I sell it? I just started doing these shows with some of the people who had written for the book. And I said, well, can you perform these pieces and add some dance to it? You know, and that's just how it came about. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. So take us into some of the things. I know that you have a big tour going on all over, so we definitely want to make sure we give out the website. It's here in the show notes, but so that everyone can see and find out where you guys are going to be going next and what you're going to be doing. But take us into what an experience is like with the Punani Poets.
Okay, so we have two very popular experiences that you can have with the Punani Poets. The first is the Head Doctor Show. The Head Doctor Show was built off of a single poem that is a piece that promises head. when I wrote the piece, I used to whisper it to people in their ears while I was doing promotions on the street trying to get people to come to our shows. And it's a real sexy piece. Do I know it? I would whisper this piece into people's ears and, you know, kind of try to hook them. And that piece ended up being I developed that whole concept of being the head doctor into a show where I play the part of the head doctor who guides an audience of about 100 people or so through an intimate experience that allows them to have love confessions, to do public displays of affection, which you don't often see, especially among African Americans, you know, kissing, holding hands, you know, declaring your love for someone in a public space. We, in addition, of course, we add elements of dance and theatrics and poetry to it. It is a very uplifting experience. And to it, I bring the things that come with me naturally, you know, from the church. So at the end of the night, I might do the right hand of fellowship, seeing you out the door. Our retention rate is at least 90% of the people who come to the show will come back. Every experience is different because the show is also interactive. So there are times, in addition to doing the love confessions and the displays of affection, you might also get called up on stage to get a lap dance. We might play some games with you. What's your lover's favorite color? You know, really test you on. Right. And it's been really good, you know, for the fans. They like the intimacy of it. They like the fact that it's very different from anything else. I mean, these days, of course, you can go to erotic poetry events in any given city. You know, everybody's doing it now. Now it's not taboo anymore.
Right.
To get a true Punani experience, you kind of have to do it with me. because I bring to it all of the healing that I've gotten over these 19 years, and I share that with you, and it is absolutely undeniable. It's you can feel the spirit of love moving through the room, catching like the Holy Ghost sometimes. And that's wonderful when the cast is perfectly matched with the audience and the synergy is great. It is the most incredible high for everyone involved. I mean, it's really, really, really a good experience to have if you can have one, if I'm in your city. We do have a long list of show dates. So you want me to do the head doctor?
Yes.
Okay. I won't lie, I give good head, and my truth be naked but protected like the sensual elixir that fills your love glow as I exercise my skill, blessing you with seductive thrills as the pink rose petal lips of my cafe olay with extra cream skin whisper wetness and repeat rhythms to your monumental extension. My hands also know their craft. They play your skin flute with the careful, expert skill a finely tuned instrument deserves, and this doctor's tongue, like a satin-coated homing device, probes beyond your proud outward gesture to that hidden underneath play. That's my long eyelashes give butterfly kisses to your generation sack. I won't lie, I don't lie, I could suck a golf ball through a yard of garden hose. What can Punani do for you?
Wow, how nice is that? Yeah. Can y'all imagine how bad I would be if I say that? that is beautiful. Yes, it is. I do want people to be able to check you out because you guys are going to a lot of cities. And definitely, I know all of the Remix fam will come out and support. You want to give out your website, Jessica, of where everybody can find out information. Maybe they want to have the Punani Poets or you come and maybe do something in their town or country where they're at. You want to go ahead and give out your your website.
Yeah, so our main site is punanipoets.com. Punani is spelled P-U-N-A-N-Y. The ticketing site where you can go and see which show dates we're having and which cities at what times, that's punanisplayhouse.com. So it's P-U-N-A-N-Y-S, playhouse.com. And I changed up the dates, the cities, a little bit for the February tour. I am going to be traveling a little bit before Christmas in November. We're doing New York and Philadelphia, Baltimore, and then I'm going to dip down and do Atlanta and then come back home to California. Then in California in January, we start the tour again, starting in Sacramento, working our way down to San Diego. We're going to skip Los Angeles and come back to them. But after that, we're going to head over to Phoenix and do Dallas, Texas, and Austin, and move up through the Midwest until we get to ride Detroit. And we're going to do Memphis. We're going to do Louisville for the first time. We're hitting some cities we haven't been to before, even going back to Grand Rapids. Yeah, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, even. So we're going to hit some small cities this time and then go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, before doing our main events, which are in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York. And then we'll come back and do Los Angeles and Las Vegas. There are some dates available, you know, if people want to get us to come after the 21st of February. Mm-hmm. We are available to still get that Black History Month and Valentine's crowd. And then also we're available in March. April is National Poetry Month, so that's a pretty hot month for us too. And we'll probably be doing a trip to Florida and Jamaica in July.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. It's a couple of requests. People are saying, when are they coming to St. Louis? Are they coming here? Are they coming here? Go to the website, punaniplayhouse.com, and you guys can see the tours. And again, you know, you can also request, put your request in or send the information to Jessica as well to also connect. And go ahead.
I was going to say people can email us directly at thepunanipoets@gmail.com.
Beautiful. thepunanipoets@gmail.com. You guys, you can definitely do that as well, too. So we want to hear some more poetry. I know that some of the Punani poets may be on the line as well, too. And, but we want to hear some more poetry.
Let's see what Jessica has here. This one is called Your Black Fist. And sometimes I do kind of like a play on words. Of course, when people see that, Your Black Fist, they're thinking about fisting or something. But I wrote this piece specifically for women who find it difficult to keep sweetness on their tongue in dealing with their men. You know, sometimes we can be men too. You know, you can't expect somebody to love you and lick you like a lesbian if you're talking to them crazy. Now you have to be you have to be sweet and sexy. You know, I do a whole skit about the housewife versus the hoe and how the hoe is always able to get your man because it's her job to keep sweetness on her tongue. So this poem is kind of an exercise in keeping sweetness, you know, on your tongue when you're talking to your partner. I want my mouth to speak nothing but praise when speaking of you, my beautiful black messiah. I want to be the key to the rusty cage that imprisons black love. Use me. I want to love you as I love my own hands, with necessity, with appreciation, with respect. In the bedroom, in the boardroom, in the streets, and at the table, give you respectable representation, expecting only truth of you and never fearing it. I want to be a queen who makes you proud, too, one who makes you understand that making love to me is among your most noble deeds, in me, your seed is not wasted, but savored and manifested before it is measured and devoured, broken down and regenerated on my tongue and through my womb in the game of your school as historic files of your pedigree. I want to work out the kinks of my trying childhood socialization and inferior education with you, share fantasies and dreams, make plans to follow through, verbally arrest you before working the kinks back into our hair, lay down and cool in our sweat. I want to be your stairs where there were only flat lines, to let down my hair for you to climb into heaven. I want to be the chant in your railroad song and go the distance of the track with you like the Panthers insist, like Montgomery bus strikers persist in the taking of our destiny into our own hands. I want to be the revolution in your black fist. I want to be the revolution in your black fist.
Nice. Love that. Love that. Love it.
Thank you.
Yes, and they are loving it in the chat room, too. Oh, my goodness. Y'all are a mess. Yes, they are really, really loving it and really loving. It's you have CDs that are available, too, for people to purchase and that they can hear the music and hear some of these selected pieces as well, too.
We do. We also have a lot of this material is free and downloadable on our app. If they want to download our app, it is available for Android and Apple devices. You can get that at ReverbNation.com or you can just go to Google and say Punani Poets app and it'll come right up.
Beautiful. You guys should check out the app. It's pretty cool. It has mm-hmm. on it and it has all it well. I really like, I'm trying to think of the one about the male's G-spot.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you about the male G-spot. Now, I had to talk about it, and it took about 3 seasons to get people comfortable. I was relentless. I was relentless. When I first started, gentlemen would politely get up and leave until I was done, and then they would come back. After I was finished talking about it, they peeked their head in the door. You done? Because it is an uncomfortable idea, you know. Actually, I'm told now that, you know, when you turn about 40-ish, you're supposed to start getting your prostate exam. A lot of guys don't want to do it
right.
because they think they have to, you know, get the finger up the butt. But actually, I was at an event the other day, and someone was saying, he works at Kaiser, and he was saying, no longer do you have to do that. You can actually get a simple blood test. So I thought I would throw that out there. Check with your doctor if you don't want to get the finger up the butt. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about the male G-spot is, I thought to myself, absolutely no way can prison alone be the catalyst for the down low. Absolutely not. It just cannot just be, I got locked up and just turned this way. No, you weren't necessarily born that way either. So I started doing my research, and I found out that the prostate is actually an incredible piece of flesh or muscle. I guess it might be some type of muscle. It is located between the anus, like the asshole, and the testicles. It's that area of flesh right there that, like, when you're giving your man head and you rub right there, he gets super, super excited. That's because that area is the wall to the prostate. So the prostate, it is the place where all of the nerve endings that control the orgasm and the erection come together in that spot. This is mm-hmm. why some men like to have anal sex, even if they don't consider themselves gay. This explained a lot to me when talking about the down low. It's like, I'm not gay. They'll tell you, I'm not gay. But they do like to be stimulated in that way. You play with that area, he will come so quick. If you are having a rough day and you just want him to come quick, play with the prostate. He will come quick.
Mm.
because it's just a matter of it's just a matter of science, of the way that the male is built. It has nothing to do with his sexual preference for men over women. I'm not saying all the time, but, you know, for the most part, right. It's just how men are wired. You know what I mean? Just like when women have sex with men and men, if that man does not know how to find your clitoris, a lot of times you're going to have uneventful sex.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like we're ignoring one of his hot spots all the time in most relationships. It's being ignored completely. So, yeah, I wanted to write a piece about it so people could kind of start seeing it in a different way. So, you know, so you could kind of take that the stigma off of it. So you won't be like, oh, you're gay. You know, no, it's not that. It's how about you play with it. And I noticed a lot of the venues I play are, you know, run by different people from different walks of life. There's a place in D.C. that we play called Crucible, and it is a BDSM slash swingers club kind of place. And some of our fans are also swingers, and you learn a lot, you know, when you talk to people who live different lifestyles. It's a good idea not to be closed off, not to just hang around the same
right.
type of people all the time if you want to educate yourself about the world and about the people in it. So I've discovered a lot of men actually do engage in anal play with their female lovers. And they don't consider themselves gay. They just engage in anal play. And some of them don't allow penetration, but they do want that area played with, you know. And so I figured, hey, let's just open up the conversation. Maybe this could be the difference between, you know, life and death, because the guys who, especially when we're talking about, you know, the prison population, you have to consider in the 80s, some crazy stuff happened in the 80s, right? So we got this incredible boom of cocaine, which was not even an affordable drug for people in the hood before that. So you got this boom of cocaine. Then you got a boom of black men going to prison. You can go online and just look at the numbers between the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and you'll just see it skyrocket, right? Part of the reason for that, the main reason for that was this manufactured war on drugs, right? And the reason they manufactured the war on drugs is because they had to fill the prison beds. And the reason they needed to fill the prison beds is because they had built all of these prisons on the contingency that they would be able to fill them with bodies, because they get paid.
Right.
I know in California it's like $68,000 a year for every bed that has a client, I should say, in it. Okay? But the prison system in the 80s also became privatized. So you have private companies like Victoria's Secrets is invested, Fredericks of Hollywood, Levi Strauss & Company. Like, it's a long list of companies and individuals. A lot of politicians, even the Clintons, are invested in the prison system in America, okay? You can go online and buy stock in the prison system from a company, from several companies. But one that comes to mind right now is Corrections Corporation of America. Go online right now, y'all. Check it out. But as a result of locking these men up and giving them 4, 5, 6 times the prison sentence just to keep them in there so they can keep making money off of them, you're locking them up for so long that they're starting to turn to each other for sex. Well, you are tested going in, but you are not mandatorily tested coming out of prison. So you have men that might have been perfectly healthy going in who are now living with HIV or even AIDS, coming out back to their families, and then you have this insurgence of HIV among heterosexual women who, you know, during the 80s were becoming exposed to a disease that the only way they could have gotten it besides intravenous drug use is from their men.
Right.
And the only connection, I mean, from a disease that originally was, you know, white, gay, men, like, what is the connection there? There isn't one. It's our men, you know. They're being contaminated. And you can look at South Africa, and you can look at the numbers in South Africa, and you will realize there was not a problem with AIDS in South Africa until apartheid was over and their men came home from the mines, because it was the same situation where they were forced to be away from their wives for years at a time, working. Yeah, you back anybody into a corner. I mean, a man is a man. I don't know many men that can go for a month, let alone 5 to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So now we're dealing with the situation. When I started the Punani Project, it was 1995. We were about 23%, I think, in that year when I was first doing my research, about 23% of all of the newly diagnosed HIV cases in that year. Today, in most of the cities where there are large populations of black people, we are upwards of 70% of the newly diagnosed cases in that city. In some cities, it is the number one cause of death. This is very real. And it is, you know, I keep my show sexy. I keep my fishnets on because, you know, somebody told me once, if a man speaks, people listen. If a woman speaks, they look first. And if they like what they see, then they listen. So I keep my fishnets on, try to stay looking good, smelling good, and all of that. So you will come to the show and you will listen to what it is I have to say. And while you're laughing and getting stimulated, I can slip the truth in real quick. And
beautiful.
This is the truth. The truth is we are at war. We are at war, you know, for our sexual health. I mean, yes, you can live with HIV for a very long time, but do you want to? Do you want to have that conversation with every new lover you have? Do you want to be on cocktails of pills for the rest of your life, you know? Live with the worry and the stress of it when all you have to do was keep a partner for life, communicate with each other, get tested before you sleep with somebody, you know, simple steps that we can take. So these are some of the things we also talk about in the show, and I know a lot of people overlook that or they don't know that, but yeah, this is what it comes down to.
Well, definitely. Thank you for sharing that and, you know, all of this information that you guys bring while still bringing so much erotic entertainment as you do, and bringing it in a very, very, I think it's just so amazing, your uniqueness that you bring to the world and just kind of share through people, through poetry and through sexual communication, and really encouraging that. Do you find that when people come to the show that they kind of embarrassed, but then towards the end they kind of loosen themselves up?
No. No, and I can say that definitively because I fixed that. It was kind of like that in the beginning. In the beginning, people really didn't know what to expect because they had seen it on HBO and they thought they were just going to see a show. And they thought they were going to see a show like the one on HBO, which talks very little. I think they allowed me to mention it once that we were doing A Women. But so the way I was able to fix that is actually it helped with two issues. It stopped me from having to find things for conversations to make with people while I was waiting for other people to get there on time. You know, to show up, because some people show up on time and some people show up really late. Some of that's just because black folks, we slow. And some of that's because I pick sometimes some obscure venue they've never been to and they're trying to drive around and find it, you know. So I had to find something I could do with people that would do two things. It would make the people who were on time comfortable, and it would also make the people who were there get more familiar with what was going to happen. It was my way of explaining. So all I do, before I had Dr. Show, I hand out these index cards and ink pens and ask people to write down their sex and relationship questions. And we engage the audience for about 30 minutes or so in a question and answer session.
Yeah,
I couldn't even
beautiful.
Be giving up on my game like this, all these people copying me right now. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. No, you're fine. We're just kind of having a little delay there. I apologize. I said, no, but that's beautiful because here on Remix, we always do Q&A. We do all of those cues. crazy things. And in fact, maybe tonight we can even open up the phone lines as well and have, you know, everybody call in and maybe ask some questions as well too. I don't know if you have other poets on the line. I think there's someone else who has their hand up. It could be a remix listener or what?
I think Love the Poet is supposed to call in. Okay. I know that Diava and Ebony have an event going on tonight. They were going to try to slip outside to call, but they would be calling from Los Angeles numbers. Okay. And Love would be calling from Maryland.
Mm-hmm. So like a 631 area code?
I don't know, 631, maybe. Where is that?
I have no idea. We can check in. Let's see who 631 is. Peace and greetings. Who's online, please? 631?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Greetings. Who's on the line?
Owen Alexander.
Who's on the line?
Owen Alexander.
Okay. And are you one of the Brunei? I can hear you.
Okay. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. You press 1. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just listening. I've seen the show on Real Sex on TV.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice.
Nice.
I was getting ready to say the same thing. Nice.
No, I didn't really have a question, and I was listening. I just got surprised that he took my call so quick. But
well, you've been holding, but you pressed 1. And so we are trying to get to the other poets on the line. So when you press 1, that puts you up in the queue. That means that you want to speak to somebody. Otherwise, why are you pressing 1?
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. So hold the line, but we're glad that you're here. And you can continue to listen. All right. Beautiful.
All right. So if you start asking questions.
We're not asking questions yet. We'll get to that in a minute. We wanted to see if there was another Punani poet on the line. And then we can ask some questions. I don't know. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me okay? It's some real kind of special things on my end here. So I want to make sure.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it flicking. Is mine flicking?
No, that would just be my side. But what I actually did, that was on my side. That you guys can hear. Okay, so good. You guys can hear me clear. Okay, very, very, very good. What I did, Jessica, is I uploaded Male G-Spot. So you want to play that? Can we play that for everybody?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so here we go.
Yes, ladies, men have a G-Spot. Though scientifically known as the prostate perineum, Punani would just like to guide your attention to the dime-sized soft spot between the anus, that would be the ass, and the scrotum, that would be his balls. All of the nerves that control the erection, the orgasm, and the ejaculation come together in the prostate and the perineum area. So if you are not stimulating this area, you are not taking him, that would be your man, to the heights his body is prepared to go. And you wonder to yourself, why, oh why, are the men on the down low? So, even if you have a man who's a bit anal retentive, promise him that you won't yell it if he won't tell it. Qualify your offer if you must. Offer him an in-office blowjob every hump day of the month if he does not come when you. Number one, gently engage in extended foreplay and fellatio. Number two, apply a finger condom to your index finger. Number three, let your tongue work its way to his prostate. Number four, lubricate his asshole generously. Number five, massage it on the outside until the tension starts to give. insert only part of your finger into his ass. Number 7, gently work it around, massaging. Number 8, slowly begin to move your finger in and out. Yeah, that's right. Massage, move your finger in and out. Number 9, then let your finger call, come here, dear boy, curling it upwards, rubbing and tapping on his prostate. Now, ladies, you'll recognize the prostate because it's a very soft spot inside the ass. You stick your finger into just about that second knuckle and rub on the soft spot. Rub, massage, tap, rub, massage, tap. Number 10, all the while your mouth and hand team up in a pumping and sucking orgy of motion and sound and pop, pop, pop. Swallowing is not recommended. He probably wouldn't even notice if you did. I promise. You won't even have to pay that hump day debt. But just to keep it hot, do it anyway. You probably wonder now if this means that he's gay. Or does he go both ways? Who's to say? Just like the power of Punani, there lives the power of the prostate.
Now you know that is too much for the airwaves, Lord.
They are going crazy in the chat room.
You will pick that one out of all
the power of the prostate. Oh, my goodness. You guys are loving that. Yes, you can go get that, and you can download it. There's a lot of people saying download, download. They're asking this one on poetry CD. Yeah, it's on there. You can go get it.
It's on there. You can get the CD at Amazon, and it's called Verbal Penetration, and you can get the song. You can just download the song. I think that one's free on the app.
Okay, there you guys have it. You can go get that on the app, and Jessica takes you through the steps, 1 through 10. But no, it is so much. And, you know, one of the things that I love about everything that you're talking about, just how you've been able to educate yourself and then be able to pass that on to everyone, because sexuality is one of those things that everybody is into, of course.
Yes.
But nobody wants to talk about.
It's so weird how one of my artists, Cashel Campbell, an amazing burlesque and belly dancer from New York. She's going to be at the New York show with me coming up on the 1st. But we did a trip down to Texas where we had some time before the show, and I got a chance to interview the cast members on camera. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about coming into our sexuality and how our parents didn't talk to us about it, and she actually had a really great relationship with her father, and she was able to go to him with questions and things like that. But one of the things that she brought to my attention was that she's traveled the entire world, you know? And
Right. She
said, only here,
yes,
of the places
in
that
America.
She's been, are people so stuffy and stuck up about sex, yet we have a incredible HIV rate. We have a horrible rate of rape and molestation. We have issues that can be fixed by communication.
Mm-hmm.
It is so sad. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's why, you know, once I realized people were open to having the conversation, I go for it. You know, when a subject comes up, I try to address it, you know.
Yeah, and that is true, though. In America, we do have
have sort of this corrupted thing about sex, but everything is based upon, you know, just that whole energy of that whole sexual energy. You guys, you know, you guys used to have a video online. I don't know if it's still online. Didn't you guys perform poetry naked? Wasn't there like some brothers doing naked poetry?
No, not naked. The most nudity that's been in my show is the stuff on HBO, but I'm not allowed to put that on YouTube. So I think I only have one site where people can actually see that original footage. And I think it's on my members only site. Like if you join my privacy club or something, you could see that original stuff. The other things that have some topless footage in it, have been snatched down. I didn't think nipples were a problem, but apparently they are. Actually,
yeah.
My Google profile just got snatched because
wow.
I posted a picture of Golden and her perfect breasts. And I just thought, wow, how cute, you know, let me post it. I was not tripping off the nipple, but apparently they were. So, yeah, you won't be able to see any of our more cutting-edge stuff on there. The hottest DVD that we have, like for people who want to see something in the vein of our original material on HBO, is a new DVD, which will be available as soon as I blur a couple images on Amazon, because they were like, no, that looks like cunnilingus to it. But there's a beautiful, the poem that I did for you, the last one, Your Black Fist, is actually the background music for a love scene between Slam and one of the dancers, and it looks like something from like a 1975 blaxploitation flick. It is so freaking hot.
Wow.
Like with the revolutionary poem behind it, like, I want to make love to you, and he's just flipping her in every position. It is super, super sexy, and that DVD is called Black Love American Style. So people can look for that in the next couple of weeks. I just have a little editing I need to do.
Okay. Wow. And so you do all of the production work. Do you put the shows together? You do the editing, all of this. Wow.
Now, see, if I tell you this, you're going to think I'm like a paranoid schizophrenic or something. Early on, I kind of was forced to because, like I said, our project is completely funded by the fans.
Right.
And by ticket and product sale, mostly ticket sales. So in the beginning, we were able to get a little bit of help, you know, with some of the things, but my brother taught me how to do graphics on Photoshop. So I'm able to do everything, the book covers. I know how to lay out the books. I lay the books out, and I edit the DVDs. My music is made professionally, mostly by Dwayne Wiggins from Tony, Tony, Tony. This cool cat called Lev Burlak from The Grill did all of the music we used on HBO. Denny Foster from Foster McElroy, they produced In Vogue. He contributed some music early on. And like I said, I had some rap artists and everything contribute. The music, the way Lev created it and the way Dwayne continues to make it, has so much staying power that I haven't had to change things too much to try to keep up with
right.
the contemporary sound, because it just has that staying power. Able to cross, like, you know, what was hot to me how old was I? I don't know, 20-something, 23, I think, when I started the project. I still love it, like I did the first day, you know. So, it's been pretty great, the material I've been able to come up with. And then because I was forced to kind of do a lot of this work on my own, the possibilities are limitless. I don't have to call somebody every time I need my website updated or anything. So, yes, I manage the store. If you call customer service, if I'm not in the middle of a tour, you will get me on the phone. Saying, I'm sorry, baby. Let me get that ticket for you. It's very personal. It's very grassroots. I try to be as available as I can. Sometimes there's a delay because I do get a little busy. But I have some people who have been able to be very helpful also along the way. People who started out as fans who ended up friends, you know, they'll contribute, helping to set up the venues for me, working volunteer work at the door, vending tables. Love the Poet is very instrumental in helping me with production.
Right.
So that, you know, we can, like, keep up with everything and put on as fine a show as we can afford to put on. And, yeah, it's just been a real grassroots effort. Everybody who is involved in the project understands that this is one part for-profit and one part non-profit.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're always doing community service, you know, everywhere we go. I ask them to help pass out condoms. We do that, too. We've had some assistance from some nonprofit organizations over the years who will come to shows. They will do safe sex demonstrations at the shows, give out condoms and other safe sex paraphernalia and pamphlets, information. We've even had an organization from Texas to offer live HIV testing at the show.
Oh, wow. Now that's
for
cool.
For volunteers mm-hmm. in the audience, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been amazing. You know, every year I get something different. This year somebody called me and asked me if I want to endorse their hair product line.
Okay.
Which was something new, but since my hair, you know, I like my hair. I'm a proponent for natural hair, ladies.
Yeah. Me too.
So,
me too.
I am. It's just so much work and so... Ooh, girl, we could have a whole nother conversation about that. I just kind of feel some type of way about putting the oppressor on my head, you know. I just don't want this. I just can't do it. And I grew up on the pressing comb, right, altering myself to the extent that I didn't even know I had naturally curly hair until I had gotten out of the Army and was on my way to college.
Wow. Because,
you know, in the Army you can't process your hair. So I was like, hey, my hair is kind of cool. My Jerry curl just grew out. I had a curl and everything. But that's what they do to you, this pressure to try to fit into their idea of beauty is really bullshit, and it's really just something to create a consumer out of you.
That's
you know?
True.
It really is. Like, you are fine all by yourself. Well, how would you feel if men started wearing weaves? That's not a pretty picture, is it? What if a black man felt like he was not pretty or attractive to you unless he had something sewn on top of his head? Like, we would be, like, mortified. I'm sure a lot of them feel that way.
Some sisters are saying if he was fine, they wouldn't care. He ain't his hair, and I agree. He ain't his hair.
The other thing I try to tell people, too, is, not only am I helping you to free up some money in your wallet because it's very expensive, you know, to keep these weaves up, but also I think having them affects your, according to men, it affects your intimacy because you don't want them touching your head. But your head is an erogenous zone.
Don't that kind of go back to that whole misogynistic thing? I mean, you know, I just think... I personally think whatever floats your boat and makes you comfortable, but I do agree there is a lot of women who do these things, like you said. It's not built upon, this is just what I like. It is because I am trying to be something I'm not, and that's where I have the problem. Other than that,
I don't even know if it's that they're trying purposely to be something they're not. I think they're just buying into an idea of beauty that is not necessary or economically viable. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not really necessary. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong. From time to time, I'll press my hair. My hair is colored, you know, for the show. What I'm saying is to feel comfortable with and without it. To feel like sometimes you could take it off and you could take a shower with your man and let your, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm a natural sister.
Yeah.
My hair is all natural. So, I'm one of those sisters that can wash my hair and shower. And it is a good feeling for me,
isn't it?
But I also, it's a beautiful feeling. But I also understand that, too, thousands of years ago, even if we go back to ancient Egypt, where wigs were first made. So, really, we were the people who did come up with weaves. Now, it is sad that we don't we don't really own the production of that, and things have really changed and evolved themselves over centuries. But at the beginning, we were the ones who started it. That's where the Greeks got it from, the Romans got it from. They got all of that from the ancient Egypt, from Kemet. They got it from us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I will put on my, like I said, my corset, my fishnets and all that. But I'm in drag, honey. Look, I am in drag. I don't want to be in drag in my bedroom.
No, absolutely. Now, for me, the whole corset thing, because I had this conversation with Esther, the other sister who hosts the remix tonight. We were talking about the whole corset thing. I'm just not with that. To me,
It's a whole nother level. Now, the reason I started wearing my corset is because I was at the AVN convention, which is where all the porn stars go, the porn convention that they have in Las Vegas. And they had this corset. It was leather. It was incredible. And I was not really tripping, but the lady said, just try it on, just try it on. I sit. So this is the story behind the corset, in case people were wondering. I sit for countless hours at my computer, almost every day of my life.
Yeah.
I sit at my computer like some people sit in front of the TV, you know what I mean? Or, you know, at their desk at work. My desk is my life. So over the years, I started getting – I'll be 44 on my next birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting hunched over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that combined with the fact that I was in the Army carrying this rucksack and everything, my posture is not the greatest. Put that corset on, and I'm standing so tall. It is amazing.
You're not lying, because it will straighten your ass out. I'm not.
It will straighten you out. Now, no, I don't wear it every day. You can't. Like, I mean, some people do. You know, they do corseting for whatever.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's a fad for some people.
Yeah.
It's not really like that for me. I wear them for the show. And not all the time, but, you know, often enough, like most of my pictures I was looking at on Facebook, I have this corset on.
Right.
But I like my posture when I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it can dress up the simplest outfit,
you know,
but it's not something you can do all the time. And I actually, in the beginning, was experiencing some acid reflux behind it because it squeezes. Yeah, it squeezes. Something to be wary about, ladies. It squeezes your stomach. You gotta watch what you eat. I remember being at a show, and on my rider it says no spicy food, but the promoter got us some hot wings.
Right.
Girl.
That corset got the squeeze.
Ooh-wee. I swear I was so messed up. So, yeah, you know, you have to use it sparingly. And I feel the same way about my corset as I feel about wigs and weeds and everything else. You have to do it in moderation.
You sure do.
Altering of your natural self, do in moderation. That's all I'm saying.
Looks beautiful. It really does. No, but we had this conversation. It's funny you bring it up, because we were talking about that corset. And matter of fact, there's a sister online. I can't think of her website, but she makes these custom. And she makes these custom corsets, and some of them are so beautiful, but every time I think about it, I just kind of cringe a little bit. I want to talk about something that me and you have in common, and I thought this was really kind of cute once I've seen it. You have sort of an alter ego. It's blue. It's called Ghetto Girl Blue. So
yes.
I'm Miss Blue, and, you know, I said, wow, I want to hear Ghetto Girl Blue. What does she sound like?
Now, Ghetto Girl Blue, I'm having a show here in Oakland, actually, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That is the art and rhymes of Ghetto Girl Blue. So people who come, which this is not my strongest market here. I live here, so I don't really perform here often. But I'm going to be showing my visual art for the first time. Woo! I'm so nervous talking about it. I'm going to be showing my visual art for the first time, and also performing.
Art is beautiful. It's a piece I actually want to get. I think it's called Blue Lights or something. It's like the blue. It's really cool. You guys got to go to the website and check it out. But go ahead.
I have some wonderful, speaking of blue, I have some wonderful things in blue. Also some great things in red, too. But, yeah, the material that I do, Ghetto Girl Blue was a stage name that was given to me by this guy named J. Crow. Mm-hmm. J. Crow was one of the original artists that performed with us on Real Sex. People might not remember him. He opened up for us. Mm-hmm. And he was the host of the Blue Candle, which is a spot I really worked out at when I first started performing poetry. Mm-hmm. I would go there every Tuesday night, and I would work out there. And after a few months, he was like, Jessica, you got to get a stage name. Because Jessica Holter is not cutting it. I'm like, oh, my God. So I came back the next week, and I signed up, and he didn't know it was me, and I wrote Ghetto Girl Blue. And when he called me up, he was like, that's so perfect. At the time, I was contemplating divorce. I was still dealing with my mother's death. Even though she died when I was a child, I was still, like, dealing with that and all the racial issues I've had in my life and, you know, thinking about being a single mother for the first time and rape and abuse. And Ghetto Girl Blue talks a lot about that stuff. Heavy, heavy stuff that is not really always appropriate for a Punani show. The Punani lady is supposed to make you feel happy. So, Ghetto Girl Blue, yeah, she's kind of, I won't say my darker side, but she tends to be more political and maybe a little more insightful in terms of life experiences that don't really have a lot to do with happy sex.
Okay, can we hear maybe we can talk to Ghetto Girl Blue for a minute? Maybe Miss Blue can ask Ghetto Girl Blue a couple of questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she a little ghetto too.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. All right. You know, Ghetto Girl Blue, I want to ask you. You know, this is 2013. What do you think the main thing women are into when it comes to their sexuality?
Getting they pussy ate.
So do you think that that's really what sisters wanting these days? That's the main thing sister wants?
I think they really want it a lot, and the reason I really think they want it a lot is because it's so many so-called straight girls that are hooking up with lesbians.
So a lot of that going on. And so this is why
they're hooking up with lesbians. Yeah, they're hooking up with lesbians, and then they got these lesbians raising the kids that their men won't raise. Ain't that some shit?
Yes, yeah, that's pretty wild. And what about the brothers? What about our brothers? What are they really into?
Men are always the same. They've always been the same. They just want variety.
Just variety.
They just want variety. Yes, and we're giving it to them. We don't want to give it to them. We want them to marry us and all of that. But when you got girls running around, half lesbian, half straight, with hella sex partners and all of that, they don't want to marry that. They want variety, and this is perfect for them because they can just be with anybody. I did a radio show not that long ago, and this girl wrote a letter to the radio station saying she was fucking her cousin's man and was going to keep fucking him. And what did we think about it? Not should I, but what y'all think about it.
So, Ghetto Girl Blue, let me ask you, what do you think about when people are trying to find themselves, what are some of the best things that they can do for themselves when it comes to being intimate? Should they be open? Should they be free? What should they be?
I think the best way to get to know yourself is to truly, really spend some time alone.
The more time you spend alone,
spend some time outside of a relationship, just getting to know yourself, you know what I'm saying, what you like, what you want. When you're not trying to appeal to someone else, you appeal to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you learn that, like me, once you get up out the hood, you will learn. Take a trip somewhere. Go to Jamaica. Go to Hawaii. Find out the you inside of you, because a lot of us don't know. We are bound to the community that we came from. A lot of us never leave. I'm from Oakland. It's people that go to San Francisco and say, girl, I'm going out of town. So we don't get to know ourselves. We only get to know ourselves within the construct, if you will, of what other people expect from us. And that's what we spend our lives doing. And by the time we're 50, we ain't done nothing. Ain't been nowhere, don't understand ourselves, mad because our man done left us for a 20-year-old. We'd be all fucked up because we don't know ourselves. So get to know yourself and then get to know your body when you by yourself. That way, you ain't got nobody chewing on your pussy, don't know what they doing, being two-minute brother. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to worry about none of that because you know everything you need to do to get what it is you want. Get to know yourself. That is the advice that everybody needs to have from Ghetto Girl Blue.
From Ghetto Girl Blue. So Ghetto Girl Blue, a question coming from the forum here. No sex on the first date for sisters?
Hell no. Hell no.
What happened?
Hell no. For what? What did he do to earn that? What did he do to earn that? I'm saying, what does he have to look forward to? That's why you ain't getting no second date.
All right, you guys.
That, I mean, any old hoe would tell you that now. Come on.
You guys,
so are people still fucking on the first date? What?
Yes,
what?
Apparently so. They're asking the question, Ghetto Girl.
No, absolutely no. Masturbate before you go on your date. Get yourself a rabbit. If you really need a whole lot of pressure to come, get yourself a Hitachi magic wand and go to town on yourself so that you have spent all of your orgasms before you even go on your date, for real.
And what about for the brothers? What do they need to do?
I ain't worried about the brothers. They fine. They fine. What they got to worry about? They ain't got a damn thing to worry about. Black men are the most sought-after motherfuckers on the planet. They either want you for sex, they want you for their basketball team, they want you for their prisons, they want you, they just want you. Everybody wants you. They got their own agenda for why they want the black man, but everybody wants the black man. And no matter how they try, black men ain't going nowhere because everybody want them.
So true. Oh, I love Ghetto Girl Blue. I love it. Oh, they are going crazy. They are really, really going crazy. I want us to open up the phone line. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone line. If you have a question for Jessica, a.k.a. / Ghetto Girl Blue, I'm here tonight to talk about the Punani Poets and really about sexual, you know, communication and really looking at it in a very, very kind of out-of-the-world way. So we're going to go to the phone line. It looks like we have an international caller that's calling on the line, calling in from 442 live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 4420 looks like an international number. You're live in the remix. Okay, we're going to come back to you. It may be a Skype call that came in, but they're on mute. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 702. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings. My name is RC Justice, the voice. I'm calling from Las Vegas, and I just want to say, Ms. Blue, do what you do. Your show is amazing. I'm a fellow host. And, man, I just tuned in probably about 7 minutes ago. But I must have came in on the ass end because baby girl is going real hard in the paint right now. And like, all we deal with is truth. And I'm loving it. I ain't even know with somebody else on the planet, like, with that type of mind. So I'm, like, loving it. For real. Because a lot of people think it, but they don't bring it forth from the heart. And she speaks with passion.
Oh yeah,
thank you so much.
Real talk. So I'm just speaking for the rest of the brothers. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you so much.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 718. You're live in the remix. Please tell who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Sabrina calling from New York.
Greetings.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. You know, how can I? Okay. What does a woman do when she's a woman full of goals and ambition and drive, yet she can see that the man she's with is sabotaging her or controlling or, you know, she can see it. And even if she says to him, oh, you're controlling, or you bring it to him, he gets offended, you know, because he doesn't believe that he is. But she can subconsciously see this. What does a woman do in a situation like that, especially when, you know, you feel like you just want to just package it up with your kids and just go?
Well, we have women are blessed with something we call intuition. So we already know the answer. You already know the answer to that question. Now, practically speaking, as far as being American, and I know you're living in New York, and it is a very expensive place to live, make sure that you are financially stable before you leave.
I want to chime in. I know this is Jessica Knight. I just want to chime in, and I want to ask you. So, Jessica, maybe we Ghetto Girl Blue to kind of talk to her because I want to ask her. I want to know because it sounds like there is some communication issues going on between you and your man, one. So that's a given. And then two, because here's one of the things I do know. We know, as Jessica was saying, well, Ghetto Girl Blue was saying earlier, there is nothing more beautiful that is sought after on this planet than the black man. We know that, right?
Right.
We also know that the other thing that is just as beautiful as the black man is the black woman. And what is most powerful is the black woman. So I hear how you're communicating to us. And we know that men are kind of different entities than us. And when you communicate something to your man, they kind of like you, you know, kind of how Jessica was breaking it down to us earlier. They kind of like you to give it to them in a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of want Jessica to, you know, to kind of give you maybe some tips on how you can have him to be more receptive. Because it seems like, because certainly you wouldn't have picked the dud, right?
Right.
You didn't pick a dud.
No.
So now we have to understand why the two energies are not lining up. And a lot of times when the communication frequency gets thrown off, we know the sex frequency is thrown off, and therefore we have no communication.
Right.
And sometimes when you're dealing with your man, you have to really begin to get him to open up to things in a completely different way that he's never seen it before. And that takes creativity. And Jessica's our woman when it comes to that, her and Ghetto Girl Blue. So, Jessica, I'm going to let you kind of, you know, give us some tips.
So there are a couple questions that need to be put forth here. One is, are y'all still fucking?
Well, it's been a while.
I knew that
it has been a while. Okay. Okay. So, you know, once the sex goes out of a relationship, you have to work on bringing that back. If you want to stay in it, because a man will not stay very long in a sexless relationship. The longer you're not fucking, the more likely he's fucking someone else. When a man starts to give his body, when anyone starts to give their body to another person, you know, nature takes over, starts bringing people feelings, you know what I'm saying? That is definitely something you want to figure out where you guys are with that. And that conversation you can have with him. he might not tell you if he's sleeping with somebody else, but like I said in the beginning, use your intuition. As far as him trying to control you, if he's stopping you from doing something like starting your own business or something like that?
That's how I feel, yes. I just feel like, I always feel like a blockage, like I can't move.
What kind of business are you trying to start?
Well, I'm a writer and I do other things too in a boutique. I'm building that up. I have like a lot of stuff in my mind that I'm creating.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like I just can't get to it. It's just always something, some type of argument, mm-hmm. some type of this, some type of that, you know, and I'm starting to see it and it's more than just this. It's like being all together and like
mm-hmm.
it's building up and it's building up.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, first let me say about the business and then I hope I don't forget my other point. Earlier I was saying I didn't want to tell her that I do all this stuff with my company because then she'd think I was a paranoid schizophrenic. One thing about sharing information with people, you don't want to tell them too much of what you're doing until you're already doing it or it's already done, because it's not really their business, first of all. Second, you know, relationships, people in your relationship are no different from people outside of your relationship. They have their own judgments, right? So I don't know you at all, but I can give you a scenario. I know a woman who wants to start a business that she's perfectly capable of doing, but her husband is like, hell to the no, you're not doing it. And he's giving her all these reasons. You never finish anything. You know, that's his number one reason. You never finish anything. But the truth of the matter is he doesn't want her to do it because he knows that that business is going to become more important than he is, or he feels like that business will become more important than he is. That's a very real issue for anyone in a relationship, but especially men. You have to make a decision, and it is a very serious decision. You know, you have to find a way to do the work that it takes to get what it is you need done without allowing anyone to interfere with that, because that is your business. If you were talking about turning your life over to Christ, you wouldn't let anything stand in the way of that. Well, it's the same thing with your work. Your work has to be your passion. You understand? Everything else is secondary. Like when you really focus on something that you want, you have to make it happen. It's like you have children. When you became pregnant, you couldn't focus on anything else because that's what you were focused on. You have to have a healthy baby. It's the same thing. When you're budding a business, you're budding a career, that has to be your focus because it's like having a baby. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're telling me that he is not allowing you to do certain things, it's not him, it's you. Because you are ultimately responsible for your goals, you understand, and making sure that your dreams come true. If he's not supportive of those goals, then maybe he's not the man for you, if you are serious. If it's just something that, you know, you would like to do. A lot of times, you know, men think this about women in general, you know, oh, she's talking about she want to do this, she want to do that, especially if you're in a relationship where you tried a few things, they didn't work or whatever, and maybe he was the reason they didn't work in your mind, but it's not him, it's you.
Not at all.
I have to remind myself of that every day. Jessica, it is not anyone's fault that you had to take kids to football. You just didn't call in on time. You know? Right? It is your responsibility to handle the responsibility that you've accepted. So if you've told yourself that you want to start a writing career and you want to get your boutique off the ground, you have to do it. You have to make time to do it. Maybe you do it when he's asleep. Maybe it means you get a few less hours of sleep than you might normally get to make that sacrifice. I built the Punani Project while my husband was sleeping.
Beautiful.
I had a two-year-old, you know?
Beautiful. And, you know, one of the things...
Wait. And let me say this. Before he knew it, I was on HBO. He didn't even know I had a deal.
What'd you say? Before he knew it, you were on HBO.
He didn't even know I had a deal, homie. What? You got to do what you got to do for you. And that is the God's honest truth for all women from the beginning of time. Because they're not going to do anything that is going to allow you to take them for granted. Why would they?
Why would anybody? Yes. Yeah.
Why would anyone? Right.
Very good. Beautiful. You know, and one last thing I want to leave you with. It doesn't alleviate your responsibility either, because I'm not going to do a reading. I'm not doing readings tonight, so don't call in and ask me, you guys. But I do want to tell this sister, it doesn't alleviate you from your responsibilities. And that's the biggest problem he's having. You know, you don't get to say, I wish I could say, oh, I do the remix, I do the self-invested program, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So therefore, I don't have to clean my house. I don't have to cook. I don't have to take care of my daughter. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do anything. It doesn't alleviate the rest of your chosen responsibilities, which the relationship is one of those two.
Right.
What's the last thing you said? I missed your phone was going out.
I said it doesn't alleviate you from your other responsibilities either. So you are still responsible for your relationship. For everything, too. You're still responsible for things around the house. You're still responsible for being a part of your family.
Yeah, I am, but I'm also having another baby, and it's like, you know how that goes. The first trimester, you're a mess. You're throwing up. You can't,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So, and guess what? All of that is understandable, but that was a choice that you made. You can't turn around and say that what if you're with a man that doesn't want you to do what you want to do? What are you saying? You're having a baby. Of course y'all are doing what y'all want to do. It may not be that you get to do everything right now. You understand? Everything doesn't have to happen at this particular moment, because surely you would not be having a baby by somebody who doesn't support you.
Well, you know, that stranger things have happened. But let me say this. I started the Punani Project before I got pregnant. I was mortified that I got pregnant before I was married. I was embarrassed when I was doing a Punani Project about safe sex, okay? I had to call my friend Dwayne Wiggins, and I was like, I had just had the baby, and I hadn't worked on the book at all. Like, I was just sitting around feeling sorry for myself, right? And he said, girl, you need to focus and get your book done, because that's what's important. You worried about who that man is fucking and what he's doing? Are you kidding me? This is a man telling me this. And I really thought about it. I was like, he's right. I did some of the best writing of my life while I was pregnant and in the aftermath when it was just me and my baby at home. I got a lot of work done, a lot of work done. So one thing is I really had to stop worrying about what he was doing. I couldn't be, you know, because was I going to change it? Was me sitting around worried about it going to change it? Was I going to run away while I have a small baby or while I was pregnant? No, I'm not stupid. He was paying the bills, and I was providing everything that women provide in the household. And while he was sleeping, because he worked a midnight shift, I was working, you know, and you can do it. You can do it. But make your business your own business. That's the thing. Your business is private. Men have that down. We don't have that down. We want to tell the whole world about everything we're doing before we've even started. And that opens up the can for haters to come in.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about it. Just do it. If you know that you have what it takes, just do it.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, he has his path, you have yours. But if you decided to make a family together and have an agreement, then, you know, those are the things, like Jessica was saying, nobody can stop you. You understand? Not him, not a baby, not having chores, not having, nothing can stop you. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. And after everything was said and done, I told myself this. I know my relationship is probably not going to work out. I could tell. Just like you're calling here, you can tell there's something gone awry. So maybe you won't make it 20 years. Maybe you won't make it until that baby is 18. You know, chances of making it until a child is 18 are slim in America right now anyway. What I kept telling myself is I want to have something to leave my child. I want him to know that all this work that I'm doing is not in vain. He will have something. I can pay for him to go to college, you know, because I put the work in and made sacrifices, and he made sacrifices many a weekends away from me, you know what I mean? So just do the work. Do the work so you can have something to call your own and make sure that no matter what, if he decides to walk out that door a year from now, you have all your eggs in a row. You're not worried. That's what the older women did. We don't listen to our grandparents anymore. But a lot of our grandparents and great-grandparents, those women had a nest egg. They had something to fall back on.
That's right.
They had little beauty businesses. Hell, I can press hair, weave hair, braid hair, all that. If Punani fell out the window tomorrow, I'm going to make a living. I'm going to feed mine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we all have what it takes. You know, it's a time for you to definitely be strong and, you know, take care of yourself first and foremost, because if you don't take care of yourself, then nothing gets done. Take care of the baby that you have so beautifully been a portal to bring into the world at this time, another child. And, you know, and take care of your relationship, you know, for where it is at that particular point. But do your work, because that's a part of you taking care of you. And if you don't,
well,
you,
sometimes
miserable. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I think it can also enhance a relationship when they see that you are serious about something and that you have follow through.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we talk so early in an idea that they don't believe we can do it. So they're just talking us down because, not because they're hating, but because they just don't want another thing that's going to stress them out.
That's right.
You know, that we're not even going to finish, you know?
Yeah. Just fly by night project, you know?
Mm-hmm. Something to keep you busy.
Something
when they think you should just be happy being a housewife. Are you a housewife? Do you have a day job?
No, I do. Like, I work from home and stuff. But I'm, you know, I was supposed to start work, but now I found out I'm pregnant. But I'm still going to try the job, though. So
you know, what I don't get? And maybe you two sisters can help me out. How do you find out you're pregnant? Like, you didn't know that was going to happen. Like, I don't get that. Like, you know, help me understand. How do you just become pregnant?
Well, is this man your husband?
No, we're not married. But we've been together for a very long time.
You
How
guys
long have been together?
Yeah.
Oh, like 7 years now?
Oh, yeah. That's your husband.
Okay. And let me just say something. Just, you know, you can get mad at me if you get married. Get married. Just get married. If you're going to be with him, go ahead and get married just to say, be able to say 5 years from now, my ex-husband, just be able to give your children that, to know that y'all were married. It can change the perspective of a relationship when a man knows that he's married. It really can. It really can. Because right now, he don't have to do nothing. He really doesn't. He could turn around and walk away, and then you'll have to ask the white man to help you get any money for your kids. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Get married.
She's asking the white man now, aren't you?
Well, the job, yeah, the job I'm getting.
Mm. No, not that you're getting now.
No.
No.
Yeah, you want to try to make that happen, because one thing is for sure, if This is the defining moment in any woman's relationship. Once you say, we have to get married or I'm going to have to move on, Tim knows that he has to get married or move on, and that puts in his mind a whole bunch of stuff that he has to evaluate. Do I love this woman? Do I love my children? Do I want another man raising them? A whole bunch of things run through his head, and he will make a decision, and it will give you peace of mind that you don't have right now, because when your husband gives you advice, it is advice. When your boyfriend gives you advice, it's hating. Is he stopping me from doing this? No. You feel, when you're married, you feel, you know, my husband just wants the best for the family. You will have the voice to say, do you just not want me to do this? And for what reasons? You can have conversations with your husband that you really can't have with your boyfriend because you don't have that. What is it? What is it? The ring. give you a trust. It gives you a sense of trust that is hard to have with anyone you're not married to. It's
I don't
just
know if I agree with that 100%. But I can.
I said it's hard, not impossible, but it's hard to have that kind of trust, because you know you feel like if you do decide to leave, you're gonna have, you know, it's gonna take a minute. You're going to have a chance to think about it first.
So is he financially taking care of the family now? Who financially is responsible for the family?
He does.
He takes care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not receiving any kind of assistance from anyone else?
No, like financially, no. Just him and myself, whatever money I make from whatever I'm doing, that's it.
So your biggest fear of not changing anything is because of what?
Say it again.
What is your biggest fear from not changing anything? Because this has been going on for a minute. So what's the biggest fear then? Because you're not married. You work and take care of yourself for the most part, you said. So what's the biggest fear?
Not having something completely built when I had the time to do it and I allowed all these distractions and honestly the embarrassment that will come with it.
So the fear has nothing to do with your relationship.
Well, yeah, it does, because that is the relationship. I mean, well, no, then again, it didn't sound like it did it.
No, you said from...
What do you mean about embarrassment, the embarrassment from not accomplishing the thing you should have accomplished in the time you had?
Having the first two, and I already feel like I'm having twins now, so I'm going to have four. And then, you know, just living here, the kids, and then single, like, you know, I will feel embarrassed with that. I really would. I'm not going to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well,
you know, there are women who've had a couple kids and went on to get
a
doctorate. So, I mean, really, you have the power in you to do anything you want. Hey, this is America, and we got a black president, so. You can make it happen if you want. But what I'm saying to you is, if I were you, I probably wouldn't want to stay in the relationship unless I was married pretty soon, just to see where he is, because he's in a position right now to do whatever he wants, and you can't really do or say anything about it. I mean, you could talk, but, I mean, what can you really do about it if you need him right now? If he was to leave right now, where would you be? That's what you should think about. And with the sex stopping, oh, well, you're pregnant, though. But
yeah, it ain't.
How far are you?
I don't know. I think I'm a month now, maybe two.
Oh, you newly pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can Ghetto Girl Blue talk for a second?
Yes, please let Ghetto. Yes, let Ghetto Girl Blue talk.
Okay. Now, this is straight from East Oakland. When I knew I was not going to be married to my husband any longer because I felt like he was not supportive and I knew for a fact he was cheating, I got my tubes tied. I was not fucking around with him, and I was not trying to have hella baby daddies. I was happy with the kid that I had, and I just moved on and just decided I was going to do what I needed to do for me because I grew up in the hood. I knew I was not going to raise my child in it. So... make that man your husband or get prepared to move on by yourself, i.e. get a real solid job and work on your business at night. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, you could email me at jessicaholter@gmail.com. You're in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to extend to you a ticket to come to my show in New York for Valentine's. It's February 15th. If y'all still together, bring your man. Because one thing the Punani poets do is offer the opportunity for you to open up those channels of communication on a whole other level. You know, sex, politics, everything. Like, you'll be talking in the car and fucking when you get home, and it'll be like the last year didn't even happen. It's an amazing experience. So I would love for you to come as my guest. So it's jessicaholter@gmail.com. I wish you all the best.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Peace and love. Good night. Hold the line. All right. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 615. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Blue. Hi, Ms. Holter. This is Chastity from Nashville. How y'all doing?
Hello, Chastity from Nashville. We're going to be in Nashville for the first time this year.
Yeah, I saw
well,
that.
Well, next year. Yeah. What's on your mind?
I got a couple of questions. The first question is, how long would you say is good for sex in a new relationship? And then my second question is, what's the best advice that a man has ever given you?
I just said it. She told me to stop worrying about what my husband was doing and get about my business, which is just what I told the other young lady that called in. You know, be about mm-hmm. your business so you're not worried about somebody else's. That is the best advice I've ever gotten in my entire life. But the answer to your first question, I wouldn't give it up for 3 months at least.
Mm-mm. If not longer than that, why? Why?
I say at least. And yeah. the reason I said at least. I made my husband wait for 11 months. One, because I was a minor. Now, keeping it really 100, I had somebody that I was using for sex so I could sustain. But no, sometimes you could have somebody on the side you're using just for sex, you know, no love ties or anything. If you really need to come, if you really just need to get that off or whatever, if you have to, because guys do it all the time. But it's even better if you don't. You know, if you're just holding it, that way when you do it, it's going to be amazing, which can also kind of throw you for a loop because it might just be amazing because you waited so long.
Not because it was good?
Not because it was good. It could because you waited so long, right? Or at least, you know, maybe masturbate or whatever, you know, for your own self-gratification. Make sure you stay level because I think it's important for women to stay level. Maybe even more so than men, I don't know. I was watching a movie the other day. This guy said, you know, guys have to do it just so they don't kill somebody. Women, I think, just so we don't blow up and be all discombobulated at work, tripping over shit.
Oh, yeah.
Balance. Yeah, balance. But I definitely think a new relationship, like, are you sexually attracted to this guy already?
Oh, I was just asking. Just to ask. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely wait at least 3 months. Don't you think so, Miss Blue?
Oh, yes. I definitely think so, if not longer. I mean, I really think a lot of times we don't take the time to get to know people. And so we end up with sort of, you know, because it's a couple of things that happen. And Jessica, I know you probably have talked about this as well in a lot of the shows, but a couple of things that happen. When you first meet somebody, first 18 to 24 months, you have these endorphins. This is why they say most relationships, if they make it past 24 months, then it's a good relationship. Because what happens is you have a high level of these different hormones and this different energy that is being produced at that time. And it kind of goes into overdrive. So for women, you know, we kind of, you know, girl, when the phone rings and you see it's his name, your heart start beating, you know, you kind of get a little... Mm-hmm. You know, and you just kind of like all excited, or when you see them and all of this energy. And the same thing happens for men too. That happens about 24 months. That's why they say usually after the 24 months of your body, that works your adrenal glands. And after it has kicked after about 18 to 24 months, it slows down the production of it. So now what you're faced with is who you're really looking at. So all of a sudden, the person, everything they start to do, you start to notice, I don't really like that about that person. Or mm-hmm. I don't really like him like that. Because your body is not producing the hormones at that rapid rate anymore. So what you have to do at that point, and hopefully you have solidified the relationship to the point that there is more to it and it has some substance. Because if it doesn't, this is why the relationships break up, because they realize that it was just this overdrive of this energy, and now that the energy is slowing down, nobody wants to do the real work to keep those hormones producing inside the body. And this is for me, too.
I'd like to add that I think we go our thought about relationships, unfortunately, is primarily sex and support, when it really should be about a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find out, do I like this person, like as a person, as a human? Like, is this somebody I can take advice from? Is this somebody who my family will like? Is this somebody who is going to be in my life for a long time? Can this person be in my life for a long time? You know, you have, like, some of the best couples I've ever met at Punani shows have been friends first, who have fallen in love and decided to be together. It is amazing, and it is an amazing difference in talking to them than talking to the people who are still in their passion period. And some people do manage to stay in a passion period for a long time because they really like the sex.
Yeah.
Like the lady that my ex-husband remarried, they've been together since before we were separated, and she loves having sex with him, absolutely loves it. And they seem to be very happy sexually, but I don't know about the rest of it, you know. But they're very happy sexually. But they're not really friends. She doesn't really respect him, from what I understand. And you want to be able to respect somebody. You want them to respect you. And that respect does, unfortunately, begin with the woman placing her boundaries in the beginning, saying, no, you cannot put your body inside my body because I don't know you like that. Motherfucker. I don't know you like that. You know, don't say motherfucker. Don't say motherfucker, but think that. Think I don't know you like that. Every time. So
yes.
Your next relationship,
yes.
Every time you're thinking about it, tell yourself, do I know this motherfucker like that?
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree, but I just, you know.
You got to kind of get like Drake, be on your worst behavior when it comes to that. You know how Drake said they love us, the motherfuckers don't love us.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like really, really. And you know, I think friendship is key though. Friendship is key. You know, and it's very like rare that a man decides to be friends with a woman, because society tells them that we don't have the same value that they have. So a lot of times they go into a relationship trying to get the panties anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get them past that, if you can show them your value beyond that, you can't show them your value beyond that after you've already given the pussy up.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's a brother in
you
the
lost
chat.
Your leverage. You lost your leverage.
A brother in the chat room said that just is going to make him, you know, sort of kind of go after her more. It's going to make him want more excited. And men
absolutely
like a challenge. They like a challenge.
They love a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we don't talk about is after that. So after you've held out for 3, 6, 9 months, 2 years, whatever it is, make sure that first time is the bomb.com, because if it's bad and he waited all that time, you might have an enemy on your
hands. You know what?
You better get your kegel on.
I got one more question, and then I'm done. Can you speak a little bit more on what you were saying about, like, the different hang-ups guys have about, like, hair and heels and, you know, the whole thing?
That's the thing. I don't think it's their hang-ups. I think it's ours.
It's our hang-up as women.
I don't think the guys need that or want that, really. Guys don't want to pay for your weave. Are you kidding me? They'd rather, you know, pay for some condom than pay for some weave. Like, that's crazy.
I wouldn't ask him to pay for it.
No. I was watching a movie. Guys are paying for that. But I think guys really want to know the real you. Like, what do you look like and smell like in the morning?
That's right.
I don't think it's them. I think it's us. I really do. I think it's us. I think we have issues. I remember when I was married, I would wake up at least 2 hours before him.
Girl, you
good. I would brush my teeth.
Oh, no.
I would brush my teeth. I would put mascara on.
I didn't put full face makeup, but I did. I put mascara on, brushed my teeth, freshen up my Cuda pot, put some deodorant on, and slipped back into the bed so he would think I look like that every day.
Yeah, well, I would probably do that,
girl,
too.
Girl, please, a man will roll over and kiss your funky breath,
yes,
and eat your, yes, marinated pussy and be just as happy as two larks. He does not care about that. I think that's us. I really do.
Really, a lot of the hangouts are really coming from us as women. Of course, we know as
it's
women,
from Hollywood.
Yeah, it really is. It is sort of that made up, you know, thing that has been romanticized to believe that that is at the essence and core. But one of the things I can tell you, and we can just kind of look to those people who are in Hollywood and see when it comes to relationship. They don't care how fine you are. They don't care what you look like. If you do not have any kind of substance to you, then it's a done deal. Understand? Because you can't keep a man in the bed. He can't stay in the bed. So what's going to happen when he gets out of bed?
What happens when he catches you slipping?
Yeah.
Or you lost your job and you can't keep that weave up. Then what?
Then what?
And he's like, ooh. I want you to see me. I want you to see me on my worst day.
Yes.
I do. So you can appreciate my best day.
Yes. And of course, everybody cares about people taking care of themselves. But that
mm-hmm.
really just goes to a whole other level. But
yeah,
all,
we take it too far. Uh-huh.
We us as women, we take it way too far. You go out, you buy all this stuff, you buy all these lingeries, and you're in it for 5 minutes, and he would have probably preferred you butt naked in the bed.
Butt naked, crawling on the floor around a table full of food.
That's right. Legs open, mouth closed.
Yeah. You know that's right. You know that's right. Most of all, though, I think men want a woman who is genuine. And this is kind of an important point for the conversation we're having right now, because your genuineness comes not just with how you behave, but your entire package. You know, is this woman comfortable around me? Or is she in drag? Does she have to be in drag to be comfortable with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was coming from when I was talking about that. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with weaves.
No,
I mean,
but that's a good point.
I would wear one sometimes, but I want you to know what I look like in my natural state.
To be able to say, this is who I am, this is me, and like you said, to be comfortable. To be comfortable who you are. And that's the key. Thing. Women look for, we should be looking for genuineness, but we can't, you know, look at this man and think of him as sort of this provider to just pay our bills and take care of us, then want him to look at us for who we are. See, it doesn't work that way either. And sometimes
what you can bring, not just to his bed, but to his life, how you can enhance his life.
His life, that's right. Yeah, beautiful.
Well, thank you.
You welcome.
Look at us. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Let's hold the line.
Will I see you in Nashville?
Oh, I'm sure you will. Chastity, are you there?
Yes.
Well, I hope to see you in Nashville.
All right. Beautiful.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Hey,
all
bring
right.
that guy. Bring that guy.
Yeah,
the guy
bring
we
him.
Weren't talking about. Bring him.
All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from Area Code 631, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Hello. On the line.
Yes, my name is Owen Alexander. I'm from New York.
Hi.
My question, how you doing? My question was, you know, you've been in a relationship with a woman for about 23 years, right?
Ooh.
And she, we've been together for a minute. And she got control over the sex to the point where you feel like you want to start creeping. What can I do to ease that control? I mean, you know, when we do it, I mean, it's the best thing in the world, but I mean, it's just, like, it's limited.
Mm-hmm. You saying she has control over it, as in she defines the rules of engagement?
Yeah. I know.
Okay, so she like, don't touch my hair.
No.
I want to be
like
on
that.
Top,
like,
or what?
No, nah, it's like tired, you know. I know she deal with the kids. She be tired, but you know.
She say, not tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, she's controlling the frequency, and you would like to fuck more.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to communicate. No, you have to communicate. You have to be like, I need to fuck. Okay. In my show, I do this this stand-up routine about this hoe that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk from the perspective of, you know, housewives making friends with the hoes instead of being mad at the hoes, because the hoes know what men want.
Right.
And hoes go where wives don't, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But a woman truly is never too tired. A woman can fuck so much longer and so much more often than men. It is unbelievable.
Oh, I know. I mean, we go at it, but it's just...
No, I'm telling you. She would do it more frequently, and I know she gets busy and all that stuff, but just like with men, you have to titillate and stimulate her. And the way to titillate and stimulate a woman is different from, you know, a guy, because we need other things. We need you to show your feelings. Ooh, I know that's hard sometimes. We need you to show that you care. We need you to bring whatever we like. She might not be a flower lady, but maybe she likes chocolates, or maybe she likes something else. You know, bring movies home.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, it's just me and you tonight. Forget those kids. I already made arrangements. That's a great one. I made arrangements for the kids, baby. That's a great way to get your woman to open up, like to take on some of the responsibility that she has that is taking away from your time. Take on some of that responsibility. Call your sister, your auntie. Say, hey, I need you to watch the kids. Take her away for a weekend.
You right on point.
You know,
man.
That type of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sound like you got a good woman, though. 23 years, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, we put the time in. But, yeah,
that's what's up. And it don't sound like she's trying
to
go nowhere. You don't want to mess it up by some random hoe coming into the picture.
Oh,
no.
Nah.
A lot of men have lost good women behind some random hoe just walking in the door.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah, believe that. And Ms. Blue, when are you going to really stop the readings in, what was that, October?
No. Where do you get October from?
Well, I know, you know, I've been working kind of long hours, so I know you said you were going to stop soon.
In December. It is in December.
Okay.
But, you know, the sisters will be coming out. And I'll still do the readings here live on the air, you know. I'll still do those live on the air. But I got other things that, you know, it's just the day-to-day, you know, going through.
Yeah.
And it's not ever. But I, you know what, I'm glad you called in. And,
Yes, and you and Esther keep laughing because I enjoy hearing both of y'all laugh. Y'all sound like y'all sisters.
We are sisters. We're all sisters.
I know that, but I'm just saying y'all just sound related. You sound just, you know.
To you, we do, but we know what position you're in right now. You on the hunt. So everything sounds alike to you.
You know what? You so bad. He ain't on the hunt. Now he hunting for his woman. He finna go hunt for a babysitter. That's what he finna do.
You getting ready to go get a babysitter. That's right.
Yes.
That's what I need.
You need a babysitter. You need a little bit of Marvin Gaye. You need all of that stuff.
Well, we got all that. You put it on the right point. I think one day I just have to just snatch it up and be like, yo, we gone. We out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jessica, maybe speak to this. Sometimes as women, we like that sort of, you know, it was a brother in the chat room that said, sisters, women don't like men with sensitivity. That's not true. There's a difference between sensitivity and bitch-assness. We don't like that.
Well, yeah.
Sensitivity.
We don't like no bitch-ass man.
Yeah, we rock with that, you know. And sometimes we like you guys to really kind of get your alpha on and take control and be that man. You understand?
That's
you know
right.
What you got to do and handle your business, not just your bills. You understand?
Right. That's right. Oh, I like that. Handle your business, not just your bills. That's great.
So, yeah. So go ahead. Do the thing and then call back in and let us know.
All right. Yeah, have a nice time. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Girl, you hit that nail on the head. You don't handle your business. I might become a bill.
That's right. That's right. You know? So you got to know. You got to know how to put all the pieces together. We are having a wonderful conversation here with Jessica of the Punani Poets, the founder of Punani Poets. You guys definitely go check out the website, www.thepunanipoets.com. And Punani is spelled, for those of you who can't get into that space, P-U-N-A-N-Y, Punani Poets. Or you can go for information on tours, where they're going to be, where's Jessica going to be, you know, where in the world is Jessica. You can find her and the rest of the Punani Poet and the tour and get ticket information at www. Help me out, Jessica.
PunanisPlayhouse.com, P-U-N-A-N-Y-S, Playhouse.com. You can also find us on Twitter. We're Punani Poets at Twitter, and we are on Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time. And you can email us directly at thepunanipoets@gmail.com.
All right. Well, you guys, definitely keep the conversation in the chat room is off the chain. I know you're not in the chat room, but they are really getting it in.
I like that. I like that. That's what we do. We try to spark conversation.
Oh, my goodness. That bitch-assness just brought a lot. You brought out. I see. 646.
Girl, that was so funny. Oh,
no, you're fine. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1, we'll get on the phone lines. And, yeah, you brothers out there, bring the conversation. We'd love to chat with you guys. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines. If you guys have a question for Jessica,
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question for the male listeners.
Mm.
I would like to know, I want somebody to call in from somewhere and tell us how you feel about the new ratchetness going on amongst black women.
Right. Yes.
Or all women, I should say.
Yes.
But we got a stronghold on ratchetness right now. How do you feel about the ratchetness going on amongst the women of America right now? Because Tommy Sotomayor, he be having me reeling, girl. I want to be his friend, his enemy, all at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
He got us on blast right now. He finds every ratchet thing he has ever done and puts it on blast on the intranet. I mean, he got a video of a woman letting a man fuck her in the woods with a baby on her back.
Wow.
He looking at the baby while he fucking her from behind. What?
Wow.
She's on all fours in the woods. I am so mad. I couldn't even say nothing because I want to defend the sisters. I do. But goddamn, some shit you just can't defend.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines. Yes, that's the question for you brothers out there. What do you feel about all of this ratchetness that's going on?
Ratchetness.
Yes.
And speaking of this ratchetness, what's the girl name? The little girl with the little funny things in her hair twerking.
Miley Cyrus.
Girl, I'm telling my son today, I said, you know, you got to be careful with the school dance because they're outlawing that dance. So you'll get in trouble. They're actually start threatening to put people in jail.
Yeah, for twerking. But you know,
for twerking.
Here's the whole thing. Twerking is not new to the black community. Twerking is not new to the urban community. And twerking is not new to the urban, to the suburbs either. People have been twerking since the beginning of time. I guess my whole, I don't really have an issue with this, but I do want to speak on it since we talked about this. And we're waiting on the brothers. I know y'all aren't scared, especially not you, Mecca, who has been really going off in the chat room. So you need to definitely go ahead and press 1. Where is the show at? That brother always has something to say. Yeah, press 1. But one of the things I will say is that Miley came out with this, and it became popular for many different reasons. And some of those are seen and some of those are unseen. My thing is, so many sisters, yes, I know, Miss Blue's about to talk about the sisters. So many sisters talk so much shit about Nicki Minaj. My came out and did a fraction of that. And everybody singing her song and jumping up and down and just going all, oh, yeah, we with Miley. Really? So
really?
Yes. That, you know, they didn't want Nicki Minaj to, you know, appear on, you know, what's that, Black Girls Rock. She wasn't invited. You know, they don't want, she's a bad example. But you got your daughter over there rocking with Miley because she's twerking.
Right.
Just something to think about. I think we got a brother on the line who's not scared. So we're going to go to the phone lines. Calling in from area code 678. You're live in the remix. Yes, I love Nicki Minaj. 678, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Mecca. Fuck Nicki Minaj.
Hey, Mecca.
Hey, you know what's going on?
Mecca, Mecca, Mecca.
First of all, hold on. Let me just say this, though. I don't like talking in front of people, so I might be a little rude. I'm antisocial, so you just got to take me for what I am. All right, I was in the Navy for 9 years. I went through a bunch of bullshit, and so I just want to get it out in the clear because I don't sugarcoat it. I'm just going to say what I think.
Well, Mecca, that's a good thing because, you know, we don't sugarcoat. I don't mix sugar
right
with shit either. So we good.
I get tired of you kicking me out of the chat room.
You're not going to get kicked out of the chat room.
That's some bullshit.
I didn't kick Mecca out of the chat room. That's why he's on the phone right now because he's in the chat room doing what he do. Okay, so here we go, Mecca. The question that Jessica asked was about the ratchetness. And for you to speak on it from a brother's perspective, what you think about all this ratchetness going on with the sisters?
Yeah, all the ratchetness. And across the races, you don't have to be specific to black women.
It
I don't want to piss off my audience.
Well, you're still gonna have to really specify because what age group are we talking about? Because I can accept more ratchetness from somebody that's less than 30. But once you get above 30, then I'm going to treat you how I want to treat you. When you listen to them, I'm thinking about, I'm like, yo, you don't know no better. These people who are, you know, older than you are supposed to be a role model, but they're not doing that for you. So I'm like, okay, I accept. That was fair game.
So if you're under 30 and you're ratchet, you're okay.
Well, what I'm saying, my point is that if you're coming up, like if you're coming up through elementary, high school, you get into college, you've not experienced the world yet. You know what I'm saying? And so if I run into a person, I'm like, oh, she's young or whatever. I'm like, I'm not gonna look at her with the same type of scrutiny.
Right.
And I would, you know, if I run and they're like still trying to do other shit. I'm gonna be in your face, you're gonna get mad at me. Like, I'm gonna make fun of you. Like I do shit like that. But that's just me. Like, that's not every dude. I just do shit like that.
Mecca, that's cool, but you still haven't answered the question. What do you feel about it?
How do you feel? So it's acceptable for younger women?
Well,
the women who should be having your baby right now?
Nah, well, you might need to get somebody else on the phone because I know when I was young, I did some really fucked up shit. Like before I got into the military. So I can't look down on somebody who was younger. You know what I'm saying? So I mean I don't really know like what ratchet are you talking about? Because I don't remember ratchet when I was younger and that was in the '90s. You know, it's a different type of ratchet now.
Let me qualify it a little then.
the things that are going on in our communities that we are willing to do in public that we might have only done in private 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, some stuff is meant for the bedroom. Some stuff is not meant for Facebook.
I don't agree. Fuck that. I mean, Facebook is there, and then you got females that's willing to do anything. I mean, there's no difference. The only difference is our ability here with the world. There's no difference in what we've been doing. Like, I used to fuck females that was in my job, like, in the mall, like, after it was closing up. If we had Facebook or some shit, we would share it on that. We've been doing the same thing we've been doing now. Y'all are just mad because you don't know how to control it, period.
What?
No, I don't think that's the issue with me.
It is. I don't know. You ask me. I don't know. Don't call it ratchet. If you're talking about ratchet as far as mind frame is concerned, then there's a difference. Now, if we're talking about mind frame, now we can go that direction. But the same things is going on.
Hold on.
You're saying things haven't changed.
Yeah, there's no change. There's just the ability to spread it further. The stock market show you
change.
That.
I might be a little bit older than you, though. How old are you, Mecca?
I'm 36.
How old are you?
36.
You're a little bit younger. Yeah, no, he's like 10 years younger than me almost. But I remember a time where women were a certain way in public. Like,
who am I talking to? Who is this?
I'm sorry. This is Jessica Holter.
Okay.
Hold on a second, because you're 32,
okay.
So you're over that age, Mecca.
Oh, he's 36.
So, 36, my bad. Here's what I need you to do, because you, outside of your own ratchetness, so you can still articulate yourself without, you know, being a little, you know, to the left.
Are you speaking to me?
My what?
Are you speaking to me? I don't know. Are you speaking to
me? Yes, I'm speaking to you. You Mecca.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say Mecca. I'm speaking to you.
I said Mecca.
Oh.
Okay. My bad.
She did.
I have
you
bad
want him
reception.
You want him
here.
To calm down a little when he talks? Is that what you're saying?
I have bad reception over here. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive
Mecca,
me.
No, it's Mecca. Okay. Okay. Can you just do this? Can you speak for not just you, but maybe
right.
some
okay.
of the other brothers you know? Like, do y'all ever have conversations about how women are behaving now? Is it attractive to y'all to draw you in when – you know, like, would you see, like, a 36-year-old woman on Twitter with her titties out and she give you her phone number? Would you call her and, like, marry her or something? Like, I don't know. Like, are y'all talking about this or y'all don't care? Are y'all just happy? Because I was saying earlier, I think it's just opening up the opportunity for men to just have variety where they might not have had it before, where we used to make you marry us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's very true.
That's true.
But, I mean, I can't say that I'm speaking for everybody, because so that's what I'm saying. Like,
of course not.
Yeah, but so the thing is, like, I just got back here to Atlanta, so I don't know what people are thinking here. Things have been different. I left here in 2000. I came back, and it looks like a different place. So I don't know what people are thinking here. Like, I've been in different places. And people think differently.
Well, I know what they're thinking. I'm in Atlanta all the time. They're thinking
right.
about fucking.
But, okay, that's fine. But all I'm saying is that Atlanta is a cesspool. Like, if you look around, it's like a bunch of people and you don't know who you're dealing with. Like, Atlanta has become the place where it's like, oh, I am this, I am that. And the people are not any of that or any of this. Like, it's the place where you can just... So we're not talking about just where I am, because if I allow Atlanta to be the perspective I have on the world or the state, I'd be very badly misconceived. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the point.
Yes,
you
said. Yes, I agree.
But you're in the military, so you've been across the world, or where have you been with the military?
Yeah, I've been in different places, but the point is this, is that most people where I've been is just that they want a connection. But the fact is that it's hard to do that when you're part of a race of people from a place where you're still trying to figure out where you fit. And everybody wants to talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's some of us are still trying to figure out where we fit. Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, some are. But the point is that you're still living amongst people who – some people are and some people aren't, but you're still living amongst a lot of people who don't care or will actually attack the fact that you are trying to figure out where you are. So what you have to do is you have to figure out who fits to you. I mean, wretched females, whatever. The chick that was on there talking about that wretched stuff, I already know personally that I've never liked females that just talk young like that. Like, even when I was 19, I didn't like females younger than me. I've always liked females senior to me. So I get a sort of when I hear females referred to as a cougar, because personally, I actually am pursuing them in a different way, but I don't want them to feel like it's like, oh, this is what I'm doing. But
right.
You can't just put a blanket over everybody and just say everybody is that way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how does the ratchetness that's displayed on the internet and the television, how does that affect the people that don't want to be perceived that way? Are y'all starting to look at us a certain way? Because I feel like, in large part, we don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of getting married anymore.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you want me to call back in here again, I am not your representative about what anybody thinks about ratchetness, because I'm not the representative about what we think about ratchetness or whatever, because
Then why did you call in?
I called in because y'all was like, y'all wanted some feedback. You want my witness? I think that all those people should be lined up and killed like Hitler. Period. But that's not how it works.
So you're not really feeling the ratchetness.
Okay. So
yeah,
good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not how it works, though. That's not how it works, because the ratchetness in our society is actually the people who have been really a lot of resources have been taken away from them. And so when you don't have a lot of resources, you deal with what you have to deal with. So it can't be dealt with in some blanket type of solution. So you have to have some mind of substance to understand what's going on around you.
This is a real medium of contact where people are listening in, some ratchet and some not. And they can listen, and with one simple phrase, you can turn somebody's idea of what is sexy around. So I wanted to get a guy's feedback on, you know, what is sexy and what is ratchet? What is above?
What is sexy and what is ratchet? That's so...
Yeah.
To me, there's differences, because I'm attracted to chicks on different levels. Like, if you are really, like, down for whatever it is that I'm trying to do, then I'm cool with it. But then I also like females that are reserved, where I have to actually delve into who she is. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on what part of life I'm in. You can't really put one person into it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Well,
now, Mecca, at 36, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to ask you.
No. Go right ahead.
At 36, how long would you want or expect to date a woman before she agrees to sleep with you?
The question is, how long will she hold her stuff back from me?
Yeah.
That's the question.
How long would you want her to hold it back for you to respect her?
If a female shows me her stuff in the first day, me and her would never be serious.
Because all right.
Hold on, because I want the sisters
to really hear what you just said.
First of all, I'm not a bad looking dude. Plus, I know what I'm talking about, and I know what I'm doing in life. Period. So, like, if it comes to me like very soon, I'm like, okay, I know where to fit you at. So when I'm somewhere, I'm sit down, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna call her. Like,
right.
Come on over, like, what you doing? Let's go out and have a drink. Cause I'll spend money on drink. God already told me, like, if you want to do something, just do it. I'll get you the money. And so if I want to go out and have a drink, I'll say, yo, I'm going to call somebody and get a drink. We're going to get a drink. Eventually, I'll get
ready. All right. Thank you for that, Mecca. Thank you for calling in, Mecca.
All right.
You
can't hear me? All right.
All right. Hold the line. We're about to go into the after hours, but you guys need to get on the phone line. 646-522-2711 is the number to call. I see some of you other brothers have stepped up. We're going to go to you. Hopefully y'all can answer the question and clearly answer it. I'm a little confused. 505, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
This is Sunchild Ra calling from beautiful downtown Albuquerque.
All right.
Ooh, Albuquerque, that's new.
All right, Sunchild, you got the question. Wretchedness. What's your thoughts? Jessica wants to know, what's the thought?
Well, I'm going to have to give it to you on several levels. I can't just give it to you on one because
Ooh,
it ain't on one.
What is with these brothers and the levels? Okay,
no, because
ahead.
They got different perspectives. I get it. Because, you know, depending on where you're from and all that. But go ahead.
Let me say this,
Sunchild, because I'm going to have to interrupt you anyway in the middle because I want to close out the other folks. But this is all I'm saying is that I get that there is, like the Brother Mecca was saying, you know, you want to have sort of some sort of understanding for some of this ratchetness. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I get that. There is, but it just seems like with brothers, there is no cut and dry. And this is what Jessica was talking about, like variety. So it's almost like you can be ratchet if you this, but you can't be ratchet if you that.
If you that.
You know, it's like, to me, that's like schizo. That's like, you know, bipolar behavior. Like, we can't win. You know, do we need to be ratchet or not ratchet?
Because
I don't know.
Maybe he could qualify this because I don't think men really have standards the same way women have standards. Go ahead.
I just think it depends. Okay, so here's the deal. I mean, the thing about generalizations, you can't do it. And then the next thing is this. I don't know if y'all ever been to the club. Here's the thing. When the gangster shit took over the rap, all of this changed. And it changed in the direction that these young brothers who grew up basically without any guidance, the mentality went to what they were thinking, what they were seeing out in the world. And what they were seeing, okay, so they were seeing, you know, this is where bitches and hoes and all this shit came from. I mean, you know, obviously the phrases are much older than that, but the bottom line is they put this shit on Front Street. And so when they put the shit on Front Street, you got all these little white kids imitating this shit, because basically it breaks down like this.
So, hold on a second. This isn't just white kids being ratchet.
No. What I'm trying to say is this. 75% of rap music is not bought by niggas. It's bought by
white
people.
We're not talking about being bought. We're talking about the behavior.
I'm trying to get to that. Behavior is literally coming out of
the thought.
Media...
1 minute. Hold on. Let me close it out. All right. Want to let you guys know, we're going to keep it going. Jessica's still hanging with us. We got the remix crew. You got about 1 minute and 44 seconds to get on the phone line. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. For the rest of you, I do want to invite you to go check out the Punai's website. You can find all the details, show information right here. You can also connect with Jessica on Facebook, Twitter, and all that cool stuff. Go over to the Remix Radio page. We do want to hear your thoughts on the show. If you like it, we want you to like it. And if you love it, we do want to hear your comments and your thoughts on the show as well. We're going to keep going. We're going to get ready to get into the after hours. For the rest of you, I will see you Saturday night along with Brother Bilal. We will be in Self Invested. And also on Sunday night, we'll be right back here in the remix. So don't forget to download. You guys know what to do. Peace and love, much love, warm spirit. And we're going to continue in the remix in the after hours. All right. Verbal penetration. The Punai.
We going in. Okay.
Go ahead, Sunchild Ra. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I was just saying all that to kind of preface the fact. I mean, the place where twerking to me is like the most wild is in the islands, especially in Jamaica. And they have these huge things, you know, and you know, a whole bunch of rappers come, a whole bunch of different kind of artists come, and, you know, the whole thing is just twerking. I mean, if people are twerking, the whole audience is twerking. You know, it's like all over the place, right? But it doesn't, it's not, that's not lewd to me, and it's not nasty to me, and it's not immoral. That reminds me of what brothers and sisters used to do in Africa back in the day. We had ceremonies where we did that.
Right. It's not twerking. And it is
so
a different
energy. Well, you know, they call it this, they call it that, but I'm telling you, the real twerk, if you check.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to say, because I want you to get to the ratchetness. But here, let me help you out a little bit. That wasn't called twerking, and they still do it today. It's not twerking. See, it's a lot about the energy. Everything is about your intentions of what you You understand? So I get what you're saying, and it is a different intention behind why the sister is dancing. You understand? It's not a healing dance. These sisters ain't trying to heal with a baby on her back getting pumped in the woods and videoing.
No. But, see, that's not – I was trying – basically what I was trying to do is – trying to say is this. What's going on in Jamaica, I understand that. That's part of who we are as a people. But – here in the United States, where everything is fucking twisted, that becomes something that is that young girls, because of the peer pressure, will do to basically. I mean, now they're thinking that that's, you know, maybe that's how I, you know, that's how I get a man. I got to be doing this to get a man. I got to be doing this to get a man. I got to be doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think you're right. I think it's
I think the intention with twerking and what did my son call it, Keaton? What's the new dance called? Yiking, which is more intense than twerking, is actually to get the partner aroused, sexually aroused to the point that he can't dance anymore. He can't hang on anymore. And it's a fad. It's a fad.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, even that, when you say that, that's going back to what I was talking about before. This goes all the way back to Africa. So I mean, that was part of the thing there, was to get the niggas joined hard.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
But that was all part of ceremony.
No.
So what we're talking about here is twisted ceremony. But the other thing is this.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Because you're trying to give us a history lesson. We're not doing that.
What I'm saying is this. Me personally, as a man,
I want you to talk about what you think about ratchetness. Not a dissertation. I do want to know what you feel about ratchetness.
Well, to me, it's just all I can say about it is I'm observing it. I have no opinion of it one direction or the other. I just see it as what it is and how it got to be where it is. So, I mean, basically from what I'm saying is it is what it is. Now, if you're asking me if I would be out there fucking with some shit like that, fuck no.
Yeah.
Because I'm already gone from that level of shit.
That's it. That's it right there.
Like, would you want your son to marry Miley Cyrus right now?
Fuck no. Why would I allow him to marry some ignorant little white girl who don't even know what the fuck she's about? She's rebelling.
Well, I don't think she's rebelling.
Yeah, that's the excuse.
That's
she's not rebelling. She
I don't think she's rebelling.
She's marketed.
We can't go here, but see, Sunchild Round knows how to do this. We're not going to go here tonight, son. But anyway, we know it's a whole nother. A very good point that you made, and I'm glad that you said that. Yes, there is history. Yes, there is culture. We know that everything is that. You understand? We learned how to throw a spear, but you don't see niggas in the street throwing spears at each other, killing each other. They picked up guns.
No.
So I do understand how history has evolved itself and it's come down. I think that all of this ratchetness comes from daddy gone wild. We like to blame everything on the woman. Yes, we are the creators of earth. We are, but we do know that when it comes to the dominance and the masculinity, a lot of that is because a lot of these brothers, a lot of these daddies, a lot of these granddaddies did not step up and take their fucking role as a man. It's just bitch-assness going on in our communities, and nobody's standing up for nobody. So what do you have? You have women raising men, women, raising children, children raising children. And this is how we have really spiraled ourselves into this, what we now call wretchedness. And who
yes.
does everybody expect to stop it? The woman. So,
well, goddamn, I thought I was the preacher in this conversation.
No.
Well, you better go,
well, I'm
girl.
I'm not expecting a woman to stop it. I'm not expecting a woman to stop it. And
but
I mean,
Neil,
I think it is
a lot to leave children, the raising of children,
yes.
to women. Like the young lady who called earlier, she's getting ready to have possibly her fourth child, right?
Mm-hmm.
She may end up alone, and she's a timid little lady. Like by the sound of her voice. Imagine if she's just left alone in New York City. I couldn't even imagine with four children and no husband. You know what I'm saying? It's like I just can't imagine what this world, what our community, our black community in particular, thinks that we should do without a male voice. I have children, you know, and I know that children respond better to a deep male voice. Just off the cuff. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about nature. Without that male voice in the house, without that male voice, when a woman says to a child, stop doing that, they keep doing it, what do you say? You used to be able to say, I'm going to tell your daddy.
Yeah.
Now you can't even say that because he's just not around.
It's not
he's
enough.
Off with Miley Cyrus.
But here's the thing. Daddy aren't a threat no more. Nowadays, when you tell most of these kids, I'm going to tell your daddy, they say, and what? He ain't going to do shit. What are you going to do?
No, they say, who's that?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, they say, who's that? You know what I'm saying? So the thing about it is it's a vicious cycle, and we have to start somewhere. And like, you know, Mecca was saying, you know, they're not going to be reached. How are we going to reach them? But a show like yours, you know, is a great show, Miss Blue. Like,
yeah.
You have a broad reach, and I'm sure there's somebody out there listening right now who's listening to the entire show who can hear what we're saying. And what we're saying is you have to hold yourself up in a certain way, the way that is inside of you, the God in you. Look at the God in you. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about that thing inside of you that tells you from birth what is right and what is wrong. You have to hold on to that. Because there's not necessarily going to be somebody outside of yourself to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And so that's why I was saying earlier about tapping into, you know, your private place, getting away from other people so that you can really hone in to your spiritual side. Because I believe every human is born to know the difference between right and wrong. I don't care if you were born in a wilderness somewhere. You know it's wrong to kill an animal. You know it's wrong to stab your mama in the eye. You just know. Inherently, you know.
That's true.
Because we existed, and we existed probably spiritually on a better plane before we had all these laws. And now that we have all these laws, we're just victims of them. You see what I'm saying? The God is in you already.
Okay. Can y'all still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
We can, but we about to put you on hold so we can go to the next brother. So hold the line.
Okay.
Hold the line.
All right.
Right. Thank you, Chow. All right, we're going to go to the next caller calling from area code 804. I like these kind of conversations, y'all. We need to do it more. We got to have Jessica come back. 804, you're live in the remix. Greetings. Who's on the line?
This is Rashad. How you doing, Miss Blue?
Hi.
Who is it?
Rashad. This is Rashad.
Okay, well, we can't hear you. You need to come close to the mic. Take us off speakerphone. Yeah, come on up. Step on up to the plate. Step up.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
We can hear you now. You sound nice, too.
Hear you now. Yes.
That better?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, that's better. That's much better.
Okay. I think ratchet is just a reflection of where we are. It's not, as a man, it's just what men have created. You know,
what is?
yeah, ratchetness, or this term is what the men have created. You know, it's just a
reflection
of where,
oh,
where men
oh,
are, or where we are.
You
know what I'm saying? It's,
mm-hmm. So you
is,
saying
you know,
we have just, you saying women have just decided to give men what they've been asking for in your music and your talk and your conversations in the barbershop. We're just giving you what you asked for.
I mean, because it's always been here. I mean, it's always been here. It's just that it was a place for it. And because we had a very defined culture, so people had things. You know, you always had, you know, burlesque clubs, or you always had places where they had prostitution and stuff. And it was just part of society.
Okay, but prostitutes and burlesque dancers are professionals whom I respect very much. I'm talking about the regular, average, everyday mom of three twerking on a video on YouTube. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's not good. I mean, I don't want to say it's not good. Maybe it's good for somebody. Is it good for you? Do you like it?
Would you want your mom
on there twerking? How about that? Would you want your mom on there twerking?
Hey, you know, I'm at the point where I'm like, hey, if that's what you like to do, you know, I can't stop you from doing you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at you. You're an adult now.
I don't
hold people because that's not my life to live.
Here's the thing that I will say, because I'm not a judging person either. I agree with that. But I do feel that there is a certain level of responsibility, and not that we even have to each other as an adult. Because as a consenting adult, if that's what you want to do, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you're going to do. But really, the bigger picture is that it's a lot of children getting impacted by this. See, it's not one of these situations where people are doing stuff and it's helping them, you understand, or their children or their situation. And then you have to have somebody else, a third party, come in and intervene. So at that point, how much of that is just do what you do?
I mean, when you bring in, you know, when you move outside of your own individual, you know, self, when you do things, then of course, those are the repercussions or the ways that affect you, and that's based on your position that you decide to take in your life. I don't agree with, you know, that just to me just shows the signs of society laws. You know, that's all it is. You know, being ratchet. There's always people who act that way, and of course, I'm a man. I'm married happily, but at one point, hey, that's all I looked for. I was a bottom feeder when I was young. You know, we were looking for the ladies who had
low standards.
One parent.
So let me ask you a question. That's a really good point you made. Did you marry one of those ratchet women?
Oh, no, because I grew up.
Why not?
Would you put one of those women in the position to raise your children? You know what I'm saying? Because this is a vicious cycle. We have to, at some point, step out of the box.
Would I? I don't know. I mean, you know, because I see you as, you know, I'm saying you only achieve what you achieve.
Wait a minute. But you just said that you, hell no, you didn't marry a ratchet woman. So,
Right, because I grew up.
Because you grew up, but you're saying you're not sure you may let your children be raised by a ratchet woman.
No, I'm not saying I want my children. I said that I grew up, so I can't define my life for children. All I can do is show them a certain way of living, and if they choose to go on the way they want, all I can do is say, this is your life. You know what's going to happen, or this is how you want to live. But to me, being ratchet or doing that, that's nothing more than what men at a certain base level, if they haven't evolved, that's what they're going to attract and that's what they're going to enjoy.
Right.
Now, let me,
I have to interject
here and say, okay, I can understand, I'm a writer, so I believe in freedom of speech, but only to a fucking degree, okay? Just like I believe in freedom of behavior only to a degree. You have to understand that the way people behave on the World Wide Web, www, and the way people behave on television and every other open medium out here, social networks and all that, is going to bleed onto other people. It is not just about you. And that is, the way you're talking is like a, it's like a what do you call it, a byproduct of capitalism. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you think it's just the way people are, but people are acting this way because they want to be popular. They're putting it out there because they think it's going to get a lot of views on the internet, or it's going to get a lot of views on television. Miley Cyrus is acting like that because, not because of any of the reasons y'all think. She, I mean, maybe y'all think, but she is doing that because she was she was irrelevant after Hannah Montana. This put her back on the map, and it's got kids getting ready to go to jail behind it. Do y'all understand that? Go online and look. People are setting kids up to go to jail, which means you got thousands and thousands of new children who never had a record, who might at 16 be at a school dance doing what they saw on television and end up with a criminal record and never be able to get out of the system again.
But you know what I would say to that? I say that if it took this little white girl to stop our little black children from acting a fool, so be it. Because it's sad that Miley had to come along when we have had so, you know,
But should acting out that way actually give you a criminal record? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I said. Now, on that point, I don't think that acting out should get you a criminal record. But I can remember last year or the year before in Chicago, before the summer started, they had 44 teenagers dead. Dead.
From twerking?
No, and shot.
Oh, sorry.
But what I'm saying...
No, I'm fucking with you. Death by twerking.
We knew that somebody was twerking. They wasn't watching the children, and it wasn't the children twerking. It was the mamas with them grown-ass daddies twerking.
You know what? You get on my nerves. You really tied twerking into 40 deaths. I'm so mad at you right now. I am so mad. I need to smoke a joint. I'm in California. Where do we at? That's crazy.
Look, this is the whole point of what Jay-Z was trying to get everybody to see. That people missed the point. Somewhere in the world, Miley is twerking. That's what's happened to everybody. When all of this shit is going on, there is some 30-plus, 40-plus mama and daddy somewhere twerking.
I'm so mad. I don't even know. I'm like seeing red right now. I'm like,
that's how the children learn how to twerk. Because
this shit just turned into an episode of Saturday Night Live.
You know what?
I'm for real. And I love Saturday Night Live. Shout out. Put me on. No. No, but for real, I know what you're saying, because our standards definitely took a shift, you know, somewhere around the time AIDS came and bit ourselves in the asses, you know what I'm saying? Like,
here's my thing. Do you remember the video? I did see this video where the father whooped his daughter's ass because they was twerking and they put that shit up on YouTube, and he beat their ass. He came home from work, took off his belt, and tore that ass up. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You girl, but now he could go to jail for some shit like that. Did he go to jail?
No, he didn't go to jail. But what he said was this. He said, I didn't raise my daughters like this, but one thing he did do is he made some adjustments. And that was that he decided that no longer can y'all be unsupervised. So either your mama going to take off or I'm going to take off. Somebody said he went to jail. I didn't see that. But I know that that brother stood up and said, whatever is going to be, is to be. You understand? So whenever we have children out here, we know somewhere there's a mama twerking somewhere and there's a daddy twerking somewhere.
True. Now, I'll say this. Maybe not parents twerking, but definitely there's a lot of peer pressure out there. I will say this. I was raised by this old-ass lady that was born in 1923. Okay? This boy came to pick me up to take me on a date. He came in his father's van because that's all he had, right? Mm-hmm. So he pulls up into my mama's parking lot in a van, talking about he want to take me to the movies. I'm 16, dating age. I had to wait till I was 16 to date. My mama came outside with a big-ass broom in her hand, slamming the broom up against the van, talking about my baby ain't going nowhere in that lion's den.
I know that's right.
Because that's how we used to parent. We used to see the future.
That's right.
And employ it today. Now, we talking about, well, we just let you be what you're going to be because you almost grown anyway. That's some bullshit. That's why they're children and we're adults, because we know the results. We've already experienced cause and effect. So, no, you do not say my daughter is just experiencing life twerking for a grown-ass married man on international television. That is not fucking okay, and that is not okay for my daughter to see.
That's right.
That
it's
is not okay, because she might be twerking for some grown-ass man that might decide to rape her, and her future will be ruined. It's not cool. It's not okay. It's not okay. I don't give a fuck.
I agree.
Y'all get mad at me if you want to.
I also say we got to find the real twerkers, though. We got to find the real twerkers.
You know what? I'm so mad.
All right, brother. Hold the line. We got to find them real twerkers. Some of y'all twerking right now. Even though y'all listening to this, y'all twerking. Where your kids?
Damn, I was just getting ready to twerk.
Where they at?
I was just getting ready to twerk. You got me all fucked up. Discombobulated in my twerk. My left knee shaking and shit. I can't even twerk right.
678, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are, where you're calling from. Who's on the line, please? 678.
They can't even talk. They're like,
hey, I'm here. I've been here.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Mecca.
Yeah, if you want to get rid of me, that's fine. You can get me off the line if you want to.
Mecca, nobody's getting rid of you. Calm down.
All right,
we know you got my issues. Calm down.
All right. They tried to drug me when I was a child. I've been fighting it since.
Okay, well, keep fighting.
who? You say who?
Who
did
you to get them people?
What you think I'm doing? What you think I'm doing? I got to make contacts first. I got
to
make contacts first. I can't do it by myself.
You know?
Yes, ma'am. All right,
I'm good. I got a clean slate. What you got?
Okay. We ready.
Okay, Mecca.
Well, we were still talking about, now she's talking about finding the original twerker. So we got to find the
twerker.
She's talking about the example that parents set for their children, saying that, like, parents are setting a bad example for the children. I tend to agree that we are. I mean, I don't know. Do you have children, Mecca?
I don't have any children.
Okay. Do you want
children? And you're 36?
I do want children. I don't have any that I know of.
Wait a minute. And you're not married, and you're not trying to start a family right now because you're not married, right?
No.
And wait, let me just keep putting words in your mouth. And because you're not married and you're a good, upstanding soldier of the United States military, you would never consider having children out of wedlock, especially with a twerker. Am I correct?
Well, I'm not in the military. You misjudged that part, or we had a miscommunication.
I'm sorry, I thought you were a soldier. I'm a veteran of it.
Oh, you're
a veteran of it.
Veteran.
Once a soldier, always a soldier. I was in the Army.
Right. Cool.
Oh, people don't know that about
me. I was a supply officer.
Oh, that's good. It's a good job.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. You're tripping.
Okay, Mecca, what you got for it, Mecca?
So what?
About parents, like the example the parents are setting for our children as far as, like, how we deal with our sexuality and are perceived in public, you know.
Sexuality, I don't know. Like, if you're talking about if you have kids, first of all, you can't really even control your kids because somebody else is saying what you can't do to keep them in line. So
that's
you're really limited.
true.
That's not true. You gotta whoop that ass. The Bible says bear the rod and spoil the child.
That doesn't have an effect.
Mecca, let me say this. Yeah. I have two children, so I think I'm a little qualified to say something on this subject. There is a difference between discipline and abuse. There's a big difference.
Okay.
Understand?
Okay. Right.
These cases that they have exacerbated, and I really want to say the other word, but I won't, that they have to the media that they have made you feel are just these parents. Like, for instance, the brother who came home and whipped his two children and filmed it, and then he ended up going, somebody said he went to jail. I don't know. I didn't follow that. But let's just say this. There are a lot of things, and this is what Jessica was talking about earlier, that certain things happen in the home. They stayed in the home. Now, they're not always good things. We know that. But if you are a parent, you have a responsibility to give your children structure, discipline, love, and affection. It's your responsibility. Amongst the other things that you need to give to your children. I have never feared for beating my children, nor did I have to. See, but the biggest mistake that I have seen is that you can't wait to raise your child when they turn 16. You can't.
Right.
You cannot start to do that when they are grown. You simply can't.
And you're absolutely right. But my question is this, is that if you look at what we call the 100th monkey theory or whatever, and we look at the different things.
I'm not a monkey.
What is the 100th monkey theory?
I wasn't calling. You cannot take me as saying that.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Hold on, wait.
I missed something. What happened?
What I'm saying is that if you look at the 100th monkey theory, 100th monkey theory.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're a monkey or I'm a monkey or whatever.
Hey, do me a favor, Mecca.
I'm not insulted. I just want to know what the 100th monkey theory is. I have no idea.
If you let me finish, I'll tell you what it means. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
it's this idea, or it's actually a study, and you can look it up on Google, that basically there was these different islands of the same species of monkey.
So
if you know the story, then my point is this, is that what we're supposed to give to our kids is the best environment in order for them to be able to become innovators. Our kids are supposed to have the most free environment to be able to play with all the things they want to play with in order to, you know, make their minds flourish. Okay, but what happens in the black community is that it doesn't happen in the black community. The places where we have to flourish actually give somebody else more profit, more benefit. So what we have to really like think about is, why do we have to send our kids somewhere else to actually do something in the world, but they don't do it for us? So we got LeBron James, we got all these people who become all these, you know, superstars of athletics, but there is no real there's no real addition to where they came from. Well, you have to really see it in some particular way. There has to be a structure. So all I'm saying is this. I understand what y'all are saying, but we have to understand, where does the prosperity back to what you did in your whole life to make your kids a success, where do you get awarded? Where do you get your award at? Where does it come from?
My reward comes from my children. I'm not looking.
Okay,
hold on. You asked me, so I'm going to tell you. Reward comes from one of the things, and I know the quote that you're saying, because Brother Bobby Hemmett talked about the 100 monkey theories. I talked about it on the show, and in short, just to understand, is that what they did, they particular islands,
and they mm-hmm. taught a group of monkeys. I'm saying it for Jessica. They taught a group of monkeys how right. to perform a particular task. But then right. they went to another island where these monkeys were not taught how to perform a particular task, yet these right. monkeys figured out how to do it. Now,
right.
mm-hmm. scientists were baffled. Well, we didn't teach these monkeys on this other island how to do this.
Right.
How did they learn right. how to do that? Well, there is something called collective consciousness, and that is
Damn.
Something that we're all privy to, and that information
right.
goes. But one of the things that I will say to you, Mecca, consciousness is not necessarily based on
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I heard That's something, but in your background, I didn't hear you. Can you please say it again?
I think that was on Jessica's end, but it's all good. I said consciousness is not something that you just immediately get. You understand? A lot of that comes from what? It comes from evolution of what you're around, your environment, and people that you're with. Dr. Frances Cresswell came on the show, and she talked about that, that us as black people, what we do is we teach our children to be fearful of their environment, whereas when there are kids who are white kids, they are taught that they can freely explore their environment. But two things she also mentioned that you didn't mention here is that a black boy cannot walk around anywhere he wants and do what he wants, or he will end up like Trayvon Martin. We've seen that. So when we start to talk about what we are doing as people to raise our children and you want to compare it to the 100 monkey theory, I am stretching.
I wasn't comparing. So when you finish, exactly, because I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
When you can you refer it back to me, but continue.
Okay. So that 100 monkey theory, yes, I get it. The evolution does transfer itself. However, big difference is if you're not exposed to things, if you don't know things, then it cannot be activated in you. A lot of people end up with their consciousness based on trauma they've had in their life. Sad but true, everybody does not become this, I am this person that has this self-worth and understand who I am, all the love and support I've gotten in my life. A lot of it has come from a lot of trauma. And unfortunately, that trauma has started with our parents. That trauma has started with people we trust in our life. That trauma has started at the core essence of when we were conceived. Hence, this right. is why you need to take yourself to go see the Punani poet. Because, see, when you're conceiving a child, all the thoughts that you're having in your head while in the egg is coming together is producing that energy that goes into that child's life force energy. So some of the children are coming into this world with very confused twerking mamas and daddies. And that's what Jessica is all about. Her whole company is to help you have a better sexual communication with yourself so you can have it with your mate. So then when you do get together and you mm-hmm. can see a child, that child does not come out like the 100 monkeys and is somewhere twerking like mama and daddy used to do back when they were.
I am so glad
that y'all broke that down to me because I've never heard of the theory. I am very familiar with Frances Cress-Welsing, however. And wow.
Wait, hold on. I've never heard
of that before. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry. I understand exactly what you're saying. So let me just.
Wait, can I just say this first?
Hold on, Mecca. You can't interrupt the guest until her.
No.
You can't do
That's
that.
Okay.
My apologies.
Let me just say this one thing, and then Mecca was next. I actually interrupted him, so I apologize. But I just wanted to say this because I have some ignorance to which I was talking about, and now I know we're on the same page. So let me just say this. The same guy that gave me the best advice of my life told me this. We had children around the same time. Our sons are 6 months apart. We both have black sons living in America. And he was telling me he thought he was going to be a stricter parent,
But then he was saying, you know, he goes to the grocery store and he always sees how black people are laughing about how white people's kids are running around the grocery store acting stupid, and they're just like, Johnny, stop it, you know.
Yes.
And we tend to just beat our kids, just like, you know, beat them into submission.
Right,
act right. We have to understand, as he put it to me, a lot of that comes from slavery, where we were raising our children
to
position where they were not placing themselves in a space.
And you didn't
want to
see them punished by somebody else.
Right, or whatever. But he said he has the means and he had the authority in Oakland as the founder of Tony to say, fuck that. I'm going to spoil the fuck out of my kids. I'm going to make my kids as spoiled as all the white kids in my neighborhood, because white people raise their children to believe that they could do any fucking thing they want.
Right.
I think a lot of the things, as long as those things are productive to their growth,
right,
to their growth. So we allow our children to run around. Instead of allowing our children to feel like they own stuff, and to train them to, I don't know, fill out a check.
Well, that's my whole thing.
Or,
this,
you know what I'm saying? We don't train our children. Hold on. I'm talking about the monkey theory. If we're going to live in this world, look, if we're going to live in this world that has been provided to us via our tax dollars or somebody else's tax dollars, then we have to train our children to survive in this world that has been created.
That's what I'm saying.
We have to give them the skills to survive in this world and
that's
a world
fine.
That we create
MTV. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay, and that's fine or whatever, but that's the passive way, because I'm a black male here. So when I go to places and I have to figure out how to make your environment comfortable, then I have to live in a way where it's like, okay, you have to know that I'm in control, because if you find out that somebody else is in control, then you're going to look at me with less respect. So my point is that you don't understand that there's a little bit more effort that a male has to do to make sure you are gratified with what's going on. What I'm saying is this. It doesn't really have anything to do with the monkey process. You took it a little bit too more literally. I was trying to say it in the sense of it's about momentum. When black people always get their momentum, there has to be something to stop the velocity. And that's what you've seen with all the people who have tried to be like, yo, I understand the black community. The black community is a part of me. Everybody came from whatever, whoever you choose to even look up to, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you know, Kwame Ture, whoever you want to look up to, all those people said, yo, let's do this, let's get this, and they had their following, but then the following was like, oh, we too scared to do this shit. So what we saying is this, the last person that y'all let fall that got killed was Tupac, and Tupac is the one that still runs through y'all's kids' minds and shit like that beyond what y'all are doing, because y'all ain't nobody right now in black America, black society, doing nothing. Hold on, let me finish. I let you finish. I did not interrupt you at all.
I didn't interrupt you
on no level.
But I'm the host. See how that works? I'm the host. So that's how that works. What I'm asking you to say is that we can hear you. You don't have to yell. Simple. You don't have to yell. We can hear you. But you don't get to tell me on my show I can't interrupt you because you're talking. So we want to hear what you have to say. We do. You've been on the remix, so don't act brand new, and I won't act brand new. So I'm going to bring you back on so that you can finish saying what you got to say.
I didn't know. I apologize, please.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. I mean, with your grace, I did not know you heard me that clearly. Because everybody says that my reception is so bad that I have to be clear, and I want to. So
no,
I was not trying to disrespect anybody at all.
I know you wasn't, and I won't let you. So there you go. See how I look out for you?
I love that. You got to.
You are hilarious. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Okay. We listening.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What was I at?
I think
you
just got hard.
Did
you get hard?
I love when you check me. Ooh.
I feel your dick in my ear right now.
Oh, shit.
Hell is
Lord. Damn. I love that shit.
You know
so,
what?
What y'all want? Tell me what y'all want. I just do what y'all want. Fuck that.
Now,
that's what the world is about. It's like, fuck it. What y'all want? Just tell me what you want. You want somebody to crawl up between your legs?
We just wanted to give the ladies just what we just did. She gave
we
you
did.
Sex.
Okay.
I gave you sex, and now you are pain. Go ahead.
You good. Well, Mecca, we definitely do thank you, though, for calling in and contributing to this conversation, because this is where things start at. And, you know, I love hearing what you guys think, all of you magic makers out there. It's always good to hear when we talk about shows like this that are really, really just close to the heart in a different kind of way. And I definitely want to thank Jessica for being such a great sport coming on the remix, not knowing anything about what was going to happen, how it was going to
go. It was great. It felt very natural. I feel like we're all in an emotional orgy. And I was delighted
Atlanta.
To be here with you. I will come as I go to sleep.
Well, you guys heard that. So Jessica, she is the founder of the Punani Poets. I do want you guys to check out, go to the website, check it out. If you go check out the show, make sure you go up, Jessica, tell her you heard about it on the remix, and, you know, show some love, you guys. Sit there in the audience and enjoy, because I'm telling you, it is a show like none others. And you want to see some poetry and really kind of get you into communicating your sexual energy and waking that up in a way that obviously y'all haven't got woke up in a while with then this is definitely a great opportunity to do that. So connect with Jessica, connect with Punani Poets. They're on Facebook, Twitter, everything. The show notes are here, too, so you can do that. Just a great share tonight. It really was. It really, really was.
Thank you so much, Miss Blue. I had a delightful time, honestly. It was great.
Yeah. It was great. It really was. Well, you guys.
And it was nice to meet you, Mecca, and all the other callers tonight.
Well, the rest of them are kind of sitting there like with the gas face, but that's okay. We'll get you guys in maybe next time. I'm sure Jessica will come back and, you know, share some more stuff with us as well. So we're going to get ready to go out here. We're going to get ready to close out, and I couldn't resist. I'm going to play probably what most of you will be doing when we leave. We talked about twerking. But a lot of you will be doing what Drake thinks about in his song, Come Through. So peace and love to you guys. We're going to get ready to close out before they close us out. Don't forget to download. Much love to you, Jessica, and the Punani Poets, and keep doing the work that you do and just bringing those beautiful messages and, you know, helping everybody get their sexual communication up to where it needs to be and spreading the message. And for the rest of you guys, I will see you Sunday night.
Thanks.
Yeah. We had the type of night, so morning comes too soon.
Ooh.
And nothing was the same. Watch me going out of the way when I should've went home. Only time of the day I get to spend on my own. I was tripping off high, used to sleep at your crib. Should drive out right where you live and pick you up on the way. We ain't spoken so long, probably put me in the past. I can still get you wet and I can still make you laugh. You should call in to work if that ain't too much to ask. I could pour you up a drink or we could burn some. Come through, come through, come through, come through. Girl, you know we got things to do. Girl, you know we got things to do. So get your ass in the car and come through. Come through, come through, come through. Girl, you know we got things to do. Girl, you know we got things to do. So get your ass in the car and come through. Last night I brought DOA to the studio. They already had a stage and a booty pole.
It's supposed to be a lot of hard working going on, but who the fuck can focus with this twerking going on? Someone put an order in for a chicken. Told my girl to order in, I need the kitchen. Yeah, they know I got the hookup, they just wait on me to cook up. Baby, I heat up the stove, you do the dishes, you know. Rap game, crack game, ain't that different, you know. Last album had it booming, something vicious, you know. And you know I need you back in my life. Girl, you know you got that, know you got that thing that I like. Girl, you got that thing for real. When I was on a mission to make it, who used to sleep on the floor but you when you lived in the basement? Who else got all the things you need at 4 a.m. when it's late? I always pour you up a drink and let you burn some. Come through, come through, come through, come through. Girl, you know we got things to do. Girl, you know we got things to do. So get your ass in the car, come through, come through, come through. Come through, girl, you know we got things to do. Girl, you know we got things to do. So get your ass in the car, come through.
Why has it been so? Who you been crying to? Who you been flying to? Whose bed are you sleeping in? Someone's been hiding you.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. See you guys on Sunday. Much love. Peace and love, Remix family. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Peace.